Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Comic-Con balls.
Yes, we did Comic-Con balls last week.
Joker balls.
Can we finally just promise me we can move away from the balls?
Never.
No. Should I come up with a different word then?
No. What else can you do?
Scrote.
Yeah, scrotum.
Shit. Chode.
Chode. Oh, that's just nasty.
I sort of asked for this, didn't I? Hey, welcome to episode 109 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with, we'll go around.
Which way?
Your way.
Yeah. Okay, this is Dave.
Wait, who?
I don't know that
I
Dave.
Don't know Dave. Who is
Brutal
Dave?
Dave. Brutal Dave.
Brutal Dave, thank yeah. you. Sitting next to Brutal Dave is...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
Is that what you're going
to
go by?
That's what it is. It's a lot better than what you guys were trying to come up with, so fuck you guys. That's what it's staying as.
And we brought on a special guest, your co-writer for your brand new comic that is going to print very soon.
Yeah.
Speak No Evil, available at graybearcomics.com.
G-R-A-Y.
I didn't say gay bear.
Well, everyone else wants to say that, so.
Welcome, Justin, from the Comical Podcast.
The original Jick is back.
That's right. So we brought Justin on to talk about all the Comic-Con stuff that happened this past week. The stuff that from the comics that you probably know more about than we do. A lot of the trailers that came out. All that good stuff. And we're going to get to all that. But first, I want to see what you guys been up to. And there's a couple things that we all have seen recently.
He's a special guest. He should go first.
Yeah. Nah. Oh. All right.
All right. Well, fine.
We'll the special guest.
Don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Justin, what have you been up to recently? What have you watched? What have you played? What have you been doing?
Well, it's always a really boring answer when you ask me because I've been writing and working on the comic, and that's about it. You know, George and I finally got the book ready to go to print. We sent it off to the printers yesterday, actually.
Yesterday.
We got our proofs back today. This is the first time we're actually seeing the physical version of the book. And
so you sent it off to the printer yesterday and you got the proofs back today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to print stuff, go to Litho Ninja in Houston. They're fucking amazing.
That was quick.
They get a free
It was like
plug.
A ninja.
Yeah. They're amazing.
You're the second person in the last month that I've heard talk about them.
They're so good. They really are.
And what makes them great that they're local. So we can just, if we have a problem or an issue, we can just call them and talk to them.
Yeah. And to go over there and pick them up and not have to pay for shipping too.
Yeah. That's also helps
a
lot.
They're fantastic. That helps. They're a great company. So I've been working on that, and then I did watch Stranger Things, which I loved.
Stranger Things is the best.
We will get into Stranger Things. I'm not caught up. You guys have all seen all the episodes, right? There's eight episodes?
Yeah, only eight episodes for the first season.
Right.
Second season's rumored to be 12 seasons. 12 episodes.
Also 12 really, seasons, wow. That's a lot of episodes.
12 episodes is what second season is supposed to be.
I've also really been enjoying Mr. Robot since it's back finally.
I have not watched second season yet. I haven't watched the first season.
You know, I thought it was going to be really hard to live up to the standard that it set in the first season.
Yeah?
But they're accomplishing it.
That's good.
Which is impressive. It's so good. I'm not going to spoil anything about it, but you guys got to watch it. And then Outcast, I was just talking about.
Outcast.
Really digging Outcast.
I saw the first episode. So I still need to keep on going on it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's
What about Preacher?
Preacher I like a lot. I mean, it's
So straight. You say Outcast is better than Preacher?
Oh, way better.
They're very different shows. I wouldn't say they're better. They're just different. Preacher's very lighthearted and takes nothing seriously, and it's very, like, you know,
yeah, it just
comical.
Takes forever to go
it's
anywhere.
It's a little bit slow, but, like, the characters are all funny and interesting, so it doesn't bother me that it's kind of slow.
You think Preacher is comical? I didn't get that from the episode that I saw.
Oh, I smile and enjoy Preacher as a comedy.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's very different from the comics, but the characters are all very true to themselves, too, which I like. Outcast, though, is very dark, and it's truly a horror story, which I really dig. You don't see a lot of that kind of stuff in serial TV like that. So I've been doing that stuff, and like we all went and saw Killing Joke.
Yep.
We did see Killing Joke. We want to talk about it now?
Sure.
Sure.
Who liked Killing Joke the most out of all four of us?
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
How about we just go around the table, because this is not a visual medium. People can't...
Raise your hand if you enjoyed it. All right, let's start with Justin. What was your honest opinion of the Killing Joke?
I enjoyed it for what it was. I felt like the first half of the movie, which is the Barbara Gordon Batgirl story, it was very weird because of the relationship between her and Bruce. Like, they always have like a father-daughter kind of relationship, or like a mentor-trainee kind of thing, but they crossed the line and became like lovers, which was really weird. That aside, the whole Paris, France storyline and like the weird action scenes and the Batgirl stuff felt like it was straight out of Batman the Animated Series, and I actually really enjoyed that aspect of it.
It was an episode.
It was. It was like a long Batman the Animated Series episode with some weird sexual stuff mixed in. And then the Killing Joke was like panel for panel straight out of the book. They changed a few things, but overall, I really liked it. It didn't have the same oomph that the comic has. And the other thing was that the movie's rated R, but it felt like a PG-13 movie.
I agree on that. Yeah, I mean... It felt like they were afraid to take too many chances.
I feel like since they got the R rating, they should have just gone for it.
Yeah.
Gone balls to the wall and made it as dark and violent and bloody and whatever as possible. But they really kind of pulled punches in places, and I think that affected it. They also cut out one very important scene from the comic, which I think really kind of hurt the impact of it.
Which one was that?
So you remember in the comic, Batman goes to confront the Joker and have a conversation with him at Arkham. And he sits down across from him, and then he finds out that it's not actually the Joker.
Yeah.
That's reiterated when Batman first encounters Joker at the amusement park. And it's not reiterated in the movie.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not reiterated in the movie at all, and it lessens the impact of everything that happens from that point going forward.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I read The Killing Joke. It was weird because, like, the whole Barbara Gordon story at the beginning, I was like, I don't remember any of this. Like, for a while into it, I'm like, did I forget all of this? And it was not until it was more than halfway through that part of the story that I was like, this is all new. This is all made up for this thing.
Well,
and it was weird for me.
Brian Azzarello wrote all of that, and he's a good writer, but he's not nearly as good as Alan Moore. And you can tell the difference in quality of writing when the two stories
merge. A total shift change.
It's absolutely a shift. The tone and everything changes completely when the story switches over.
One thing I will say they got 100% right is the very last scene.
You're
laughing.
I love it. I thought it was exactly how it was supposed to be.
So Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, do you think they over-sexualized her in this version of it?
No, I don't.
They didn't over-sexualize her, but they made Batman too domineering.
Well, what about the other dude, the Paris Franz?
Well, that's just some random asshole. Like, that, you know, random.
Everybody wanted to fuck her in the show.
Well, she's hot. What do you want? Like, she's
dude,
allowed,
okay.
She's allowed to be an object of desire.
I have my
Batman's an authority figure over
my
her.
My aunt's name is Barbara.
Uh-huh.
My last name is Gordon. That takes me out of the equation.
Are you sure?
I'm done. Yes, I'm done. Yeah.
It was more about how much of a dick and domineering Batman was to her.
He was a dick.
He was like, you do what I say because I'm the man. And it was kind of that way for the first half of the movie. So, I mean that kind of stuff was a little much. I thought, but
the voice from the other room said shades of Batman.
Yeah. But overall, like I said, the beginning story was fun. The Killing Joke was the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
If you enjoy it, I mean, if you watch it for what it is, you can enjoy it. If you go
something was weird about the color palette, the animation style. I don't know.
They changed some things.
It just didn't have the same impact in the impactness that I really wanted it to have.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and so I'll bring up at this point, the friend of mine that I went with to go see it, before it started, I said, watch and see if you see Alan Moore's name.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I noticed that, too.
And
based on the graphic novel with art by Brian Bolland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I told him. I said, watch for his name because I bet you it won't be here.
The only time it was in there was in the prelude with Mark Hamill when they actually showed images of the cover.
Right.
But in the actual movie, no mention of Alan Moore at all.
Well, and... that is not a snub, I'm betting you.
No, he
Alan Moore
sure
refuses.
It's in his contract where he will sue people if they use his name in any way.
I have a great deal of respect for Alan Moore, and I love to listen to the guy talk about anything.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Anything. He's batshit crazy.
He's a genius, and he's insane. And he's a wizard. What's not to like?
He is
he's a so wizard with words.
Fascinating, but
he's Batman crazy.
I really am. But his reasoning, if you haven't heard it before, the reason Alan Moore disassociates himself with any of the adaptations of his books anymore,
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen,
is no.
I'm joking.
Watchmen.
Nah, it was before that.
Yeah, he refused money for the Watchmen.
Yeah, Dave Gibbons tried to give him half of his pay cut, and he said no.
No, it was the other way around.
Really?
No, the studio came to Alan Moore, and he told the studio, give my money to Dave Gibbons.
Really? I thought it was they gave the money to Dave, because they wanted them both. Because Dave worked on
shit, if I work on something, take my name off it, but still give me the fucking money.
it doesn't work that way.
I don't care.
But his belief is that if I wanted my stories to be a movie, I would have made them a movie. If I wanted them to be a novel, I would have written a novel. I wrote these as graphic novels because that's the medium that is appropriate for telling the story. And in this case, I think he's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I 100% agree. Yeah. And I've been quiet this whole entire time while y'all are talking and saying how...
Well, before you start talking shit about stuff again...
I'm not talking shit. I'm just giving my opinion.
Let's say the best part of the movie was Mark Hamill. He really doesn't
it's
bother.
It's always a delight.
Well, embodies, him and Kevin Conroy always knock it out the park because those are the voices we grew up with.
Tara Strong was pretty good, too.
Like, yeah.
It was just great seeing all of them back.
Yeah, it was okay. Tara Strong.
Her performance was pretty strong. Did you see her...
Her gay friend was amazing. That guy had me cracking up every time.
He was pretty funny.
Super gay. Because it couldn't be any more gay than that.
I don't know.
It was like the gay ghost in Mike Tyson's Mysteries or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me
of. Yeah, me too, actually.
anyway, it was just very disappointing. To be fair, I do like the comic book, but it's not my favorite Batman comic book. And I understand its importance, and I know what it means to comic book history and stuff like that, and what it means for Batman and Joker. With that being said, I think they completely missed the mark of what this movie was supposed to be about. His movie is supposed to be about how Joker can turn anybody into him with just one bad day. Mm-hmm. And that whole meaning fell flat. And that last line at the end of the movie, where he's telling the killing joke, that's what it's supposed to be, didn't land because it had no reference to Batman. Batman was a background character this whole entire movie, and that's not what it is in the comic.
No, you're absolutely right. All those are fair points.
And
like I said, it didn't have the same oomph.
It's because Brian, it was Azzarello, mm-hmm. He just didn't understand the material. And I think his interpretation of the material is not... It's nowhere near what the comic book is.
I'm not sure it was his interpretation wasn't right. I think it was just that the material itself doesn't translate well to film to begin with. Like what Dave was saying, Alan Moore...
But they took so much stuff out that was important.
I feel like adding the Barbara story, which the only reason to add it was to...
Make you feel bad when she gets killed and shot
and raped.
Honestly, all it really sort of did was detract from the impact even more.
Right.
Because it gave you like this kind of lighthearted, weird story in the beginning, which, you know... put you in the wrong mindset to mm-hmm. watch the Killing Joke, and then they throw you the Killing Joke at you.
See, they should have done the Barbara story, but from Batman's perspective.
Sure.
That's what they should have done.
I think that would have been a lot better.
Yeah, it should have been him trying to keep her innocent.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a great movie by any means.
No, this is probably amongst one of the worst of the DC animated movies.
I give it like a 6 out of 10.
No.
It's still better than any of the Marvel animated movies.
Oh, I don't even consider any of them. Except for Planet Hulk, all the Marvel movies suck in the animated universe. But as far as DC animated movies go, this is among one of the worst, right along with Superman Doomsday.
I don't know if I saw that one.
It was the very first one they've ever done.
Mm.
And Bruce Timm... directed and produced it. It was pretty bad.
Wasn't Bruce Timm involved with this one too?
Yeah. He's producer on this. Mm-hmm. Basically everybody from Batman animated series worked on this.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the biggest problem with this, because I think they were trying to do too much fan service to the animated series because they had Mark Hamill and Conroy.
I think
back.
They should have had a completely different look.
It should have had the book from the original comic, not the reprint version, but the original, like those weird oranges and purples mm-hmm. and those weird yellows. Those were really nightmarish looks, and that gave the whole nightmarish edge at the end where they're in the funhouse, and then where
the funhouse characters were you know, it wasn't. They were lackluster. Okay, the big girl.
They all seem like animated series characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the major problem. I really do think if they would have had the team that did Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. or the people that did Under the Red Hood.
Yeah. Was the big Those girl? Remind me of that one character from West Coast Avengers?
Big Bertha?
Big Bertha, yeah.
Kind
of,
yeah.
I kept on thinking, I'm like, where's Deadpool at now?
And the animation as a whole was not fantastic.
It was lackluster. It looked like they slapped it together. It is like, we announced it, now we have to live to our promise and make it, is basically what they did.
I'm saying a lot of really critical things here. It's because there was a lot to criticize, but I didn't hate it. Like, I enjoyed watching it, but at the end of it, it's like, this is better as the graphic novel. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah. I just kind of wish I didn't spend that much money to go see it in theaters. I felt like I wasted.
We all saw it for free.
So. Yeah,
we all saw it
for free. I bought my tickets in advance before y'all got your ticket.
My friend paid for my ticket.
Well, there you go.
I just think I would have been upset if I would have like saw this at home.
You know what I thought was bullshit? Fucking Fathom Events. They could only come up with 2 trivia questions for Batman.
We didn't get any
during the pre-show.
We didn't get any pre-show.
I didn't see that. I was like, they're just circling the 2 questions over and over again.
We didn't get any fucking pre-show. It was like we're in a dark. Nothing.
Did y'all guys stay for the end for the music stuff?
Yeah.
The music in that movie sucked ass.
No, I think the music was
pretty good. The music was fucking subtle and stupid. If you want good music, go listen to the Dark Knight Returns soundtrack from the animated movie.
It's hard to beat Dark Knight Returns, and this is, to be fair, a lot of people's favorite Batman story, and
that's why they should have gave the love and attention to this like they did with the previous film.
Well, they try to take it in a different direction, and ultimately they kind of failed in a lot of respects. But it is the story. They didn't take too many liberties with the actual story. They just took some liberties with the artistic styling of it, and it lost its impact and it lost its punch.
And then they changed some of the dialogue a lot too.
What parts did they change?
The part where the news is delivered about his wife, about mm-hmm. being burnt, the way it was delivered was very
worst part in the whole movie.
I was like,
they tell Joker, or the fake origin of Joker, you know, they tell him his wife's died, and he's like,
Oh, my wife died.
And he comes and sits at the table, and they're like, what's wrong? And he's like, my wife died. Like, in the comics, he's like distraught. You know, inconsolable.
And I think that's another part of the reason why
his wife is still pretty funny.
His wife and baby.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those mobsters were so fucking.
Well, they were mobsters with lobsters.
Yes,
that was still funny.
You know what the best part of the event was?
When it was over?
No, little featurette with Mark Hamill at the beginning.
Yeah. That was the best part. Yes, it was. I was like, oh man, it's awesome to see Mark Hamill on the screen again.
Spoiler, we're going to get into a little bit of spoiler territory, but there is a little after credits halfway scene.
Post-credit scene? Like the Marvel bullshit?
That's not how Oracle exactly happens. She doesn't get shot right away and goes, hey, I'm in a wheelchair, what can I do?
Yeah. It was kind of forced.
That's why I say, like, the movie shouldn't have been about Barbara Gordon. She should have been a background character. Where she's in the movie, but it's from Batman's perspective, so we get the polar opposites when we get to the killing joke side.
It felt like to me that they spent a whole lot of time to try to make you care that she gets shot.
She doesn't care.
And no.
I didn't think her character is like, I got shot.
And it felt like they needed to make you care, but they also needed to fill half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Then don't fill half an hour. Just tell the fucking story.
I think a lot of the ambiguity out of that scene, too, with Joker and her. I mean, you know, you read the comic, and it's always like, did he rape her, didn't he rape her? You know,
I mean, I don't know. It was kind of like, I always felt it was straightforward that he did, because of the pictures in the
It's supposed to be left ambiguous. You know, maybe he just stripped her naked and took photos to show to her dad to try to drive her dad crazy. You know, but in this, Batman leans in, and he's like, you know, did he hurt you? Did he touch you? And she's like, he didn't do anything. He just, you know, he has my dad. Like, and when she says that, it just kind of, like, why would you confirm or deny either way? Like, the ambiguity was the part that made it so much more horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The joke at the end didn't land, though.
I thought it landed actually really well.
Did not.
And, like, hearing the two of them laugh together was the only, like, really enjoyable part of the movie.
And see, that's the
Batman's
part.
Batman's awkward laughing is great.
Yeah.
The part I liked at the original.
It was their performance more than the writing.
I think the part I liked at the end of the comic, because the way the end of the comic ends, you don't really know if Batman's going to beat the shit out of Joker right at that moment, because they pan down and you see the police lights come. And they never did that. They just pan down and you see water. And plus, they did total lackluster about setting up the environment. The environment that the artist did for the book did an amazing job, and they didn't even try to do this.
They fell flat in a lot of areas.
It felt very... The animation felt very cheap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was... Okay, so...
Didn't try to make a good movie.
Okay, when we were watching it, when the scene where Joker, before he was Joker, whatever his name was sitting with the two gangsters in that club...
Mobsters with Lobsters.
They didn't try 1 second to animate anybody in the background, not even make them pretend like they're moving. It was just like... No people. Everybody at the tables behind him never moved. I was like, okay, it's a little awkward. And
I would have to say Justice League versus Teen Titans was a better movie than this.
I don't think I saw that.
It was actually way better, a lot more entertaining than this.
I didn't hate Killing Joke. I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, it's not a perfect movie. It's not a movie I'm going to buy.
No,
I don't recommend anybody buy it. Probably,
but if you're going to spend the money, just go buy the book.
And yeah.
Yes. Yeah, my popcorn was good though.
Yeah, sure. My popcorn was great.
I had free popcorn.
Yeah, no, I see. Well, I didn't have free popcorn. I got a free movie, too.
I saw it at Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, I feel like people that haven't read the popcorn book will enjoy it more because they have nothing to compare it to.
Coupon.
Well, and the friend that I went with, he hasn't read the book.
Did he really before. Like it?
He seemed to enjoy it. And like I said, I enjoyed it, too. It's always fun to hear Mark Hamill be the Joker. Yeah. It just is. So it's fun even for that, you know.
There's a lot of things to nitpick about it, but in the end, I mean, it was an enjoyable movie.
Because even beginning during that the interview with Mark Hamill before, he's like, "Oh, we're taking it to a darker place in this one."
But it didn't feel dark at all.
I don't feel like it was. Arkham Asylum was definitely more.
I mean, Joker sang a song.
That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
It was cool, but it wasn't dark.
Well, to be fair, in the comic, those are actual lyrics in the comic.
They changed some of them.
Yeah, some of them, not all of it. But when I read the comic, I always assumed, like, oh, it's a nice rhythmic rhymes dialogue. I never thought of it as a song until they made it a song into the movie. And I thought it was pretty cool. That was the only part I really liked.
The scene at the end with Mark Hamill actually singing those lyrics was pretty cool, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on, what else have you been up to, George?
Comic book stuff, work, and...
Nobody wants to hear about work.
Yeah, it's boring shit. But movies, watching a shitload of movies, watching TV shows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what have you been into?
Last night I saw Hunt for the Wilder People, or Wilder People.
Yeah.
It's the guy that's directing Thor Ragnarok. I can't remember his name. It's like...
That dude.
Taliki or Takiki or something is his name. He's New Zealand-y. I don't know. He also directed What People Do in the Shadows, or Things That We Do in the Shadows. It's a mockumentary about vampires. It's a comedy. I haven't
seen that either.
It's good.
Hmm.
Great movie.
Interesting.
If you have a chance to go see Hunt for the Wilder
it's
People.
It's out now in the theaters?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's in select theaters.
Okay.
If you have a chance to see it, I totally recommend it. It's funny. It's heartfelt. Sam Neill's in it, and he's a grumpy old man.
He's always been a grumpy old man.
But he's an awesome grumpy old man in this movie.
Does he hug a dinosaur?
No, but he tackles a giant boar and starts stabbing the shit out of it with a knife.
All right.
Yeah, it's cool. And the British kid, the New Zealand kid in the movie, he thinks he's a gangster, and he keeps trying to convince Sam Neill that he's a gangster, and Sam Neill keeps like telling him to shut the hell up. It's awesome.
Did he say, get off my lawn?
No, I don't think he ever says get off my lawn, unfortunately. He tells him to get fucking lost at one point.
Close enough, same thing.
It's close. What else have I seen? Saw the Killing Joke, unfortunately.
Really? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Watching Outcast, great show. What else? I'm not really... we talked about Stranger Things last time. I'm super... trying to still fill that void in my life of awesome.
Next week, I will try to finish watching it by next week, and we'll have a full discussion on it.
It shouldn't take you that long. It's only 8 episodes. You're acting like you don't have 8 hours to waste.
I don't.
are you sleeping?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Then that's the problem. You shouldn't be sleeping. That's what I did.
Sleeping and working is what's fucking me up.
So, we can talk a bit more about it later. But I'm talking about it now because it's the greatest thing.
When it's one of the best things ever produced, ever.
It is
by Netflix,
so good. And they hit all of the nostalgia notes. But The fucking theme music at the beginning,
everything.
And the way they
the logo
and the way they animate it, and God, and there's the grain flicker behind it when it's going, like, this is too perfect, this is spot on, and I need to listen to this music all the time.
There's this group called Survive. I think they're the ones that did the theme song.
Okay, I will need to look into that.
Yeah.
The thing that I really like about it, I mean, it's you know, it's E.T. and Goonies and fucking everything else. It's
yeah. See, it reminded me a lot more of like Stephen King, and like
it has all the Stephen King stuff. Yeah.
I see some Spielberg-esque stuff.
It's more in the characters.
Yeah, but I think it's, I think they were trying to like play it more to like old school 80s TV.
What I really noticed about it, what struck me about it though, is in an age of nostalgia grab everything, they're doing it correctly. We're going to hit all of your nostalgia buttons, not by rehashing something that you already know. We're going to take all of the things that you remember that you like.
What's a feeling?
They get the feeling.
Yeah.
And they go, but now we're going to do something different and new with it.
See, I know way more about it than I do, because I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
I knew that.
What episode are you on?
Almost finished with 3.
You should
be well in knowing what the hell's going on by 3.
Sort of, but yeah.
But sort of, you don't know. I don't know this feeling after the first episode.
Yeah,
after the first episode, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah. I watched the first episode at like during my lunch at work. And then, like, fuck, I gotta finish this when I go home. And I watched all next 7 episodes at home.
Damn. But you will continue to see them take tropes,
yeah,
and then kind of turn them around, which is cool too. Because they hit enough of your tropes that, you know, you get the nostalgia and like, oh yeah, this is what this feels like. But then they change just enough; they tweak the edges.
So let me ask you this: why doesn't everything just go to Netflix now? Because they're fucking doing it right.
Well, the creators are doing it right. I don't think it's Netflix that's doing it right.
Well, Netflix is making their selection of what shows they choose very, very carefully.
Well, you got to remember, with like one every good thing on Netflix, there's 100 other bad things.
I'd say the ratio is a lot better than that. It's like 2 out of 3.
It's getting better, but it's not the greatest ratio. Like, for one good show or one good movie, there's another 10 or 20 bad ones.
It's still better than cable.
True. Well, yeah, because you don't have commercials.
No,
Kardashians.
Are you talking about?
You can be
about,
a lot more selective about what you can watch.
Are you talking about Netflix as a whole or Netflix original content?
Both, kind of.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of original Netflix content that's just not good. I think they just make content just to make content, because they have to. They have to seem like they're producing stuff.
They have to, yeah. They can't. Because what happens when they lose rights for all their shows that they haven't created, you know?
They are definitely turning the entertainment on its head, though. I mean, they're changing the billing and the way things are.
Amazon's the same way.
Well, Amazon's trying to get there. They're just not as good as Netflix. They're not as popular. All right,
so speaking of Amazon real quick, what do you guys think about The Tick? So did you see the picture?
Oh, I did see the picture.
Peter Sarah Winifred?
It's the guy from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
That's all I know him from.
Yeah.
It looks weird.
I'm not sure if I like the costume.
And is it going to be British in the show?
I don't know.
Because I always thought the take as a stupid American.
But right now they haven't. Every time I hear Patrick Warburton, I hear the cartoon. But I don't think it's been picked up for a full show yet, because it's just. It's in the pilot season for what's going to come.
Oh, it's only in pilot season? I thought they got picked up for a whole first season.
I don't think so, not yet. Same with the Kevin Smith show that he's doing, the Adventure of the Buckaroo Banzai. It's going to be on Amazon pilot.
Well, fans are just going to flock. And
yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen. But I don't know, the Tick thing looked weird. Like, how do you make a costume look worse from the 90s?
It wasn't the 90s, it was in the 2000s.
The TV show?
Yeah.
It was the 90s, my friend.
No.
It was mid to late 90s.
All right. Google's going to save the day.
I'm on my way.
As he's fact-checking.
It's like 90s.
And also, they put like eye covers on it.
Yeah.
And it just looks weird. Maybe because I'm just so used to the
original. What about Arthur? I want to see what Arthur looks like.
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen any pictures
of that. I mean, when it comes down to it, if you liked The Tick, you're going to watch the new show, regardless of all the other stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm going to.
It may
to.
Be terrible, and we may be like, okay, well, you know, Amazon obviously fucked it up, but you're still going to watch it.
So is it the writer from The Tick back on the
ben
show?
Ben Edlund's involved with it, so.
Oh, okay, so it might have a fighting chance.
Because he's been working, what, on Supernatural or something?
Really?
Yeah, Ben Edlund has been working on something.
The Patrick Warburton, The yes. Tick. November 1st, 2001.
See? With the 90s.
No shit. That felt late 90s wow. to me.
It did for me, too.
Well, that is close enough to the late 90s. It's still the same.
Well, the TV show was cartoon was in the 90s,
94,
right?
93, 94,
okay, so my first exposure to The Tick was the cartoon.
Yeah, me too. Well, I wasn't in the comic before then.
I came out in the 90s.
Me too.
Wow. Surprise, surprise. And that only lived for one season, too, didn't it?
No, three seasons.
The live
cartoon?
Action?
No, the live action was only it was like six episodes.
The live action was really short.
Yeah, it didn't live.
The cartoon was like three seasons.
The cartoon lasted for a while because kids will watch anything that's animated. Killing I love that show. Point.
Anything hero related, especially back then, because we were starved for it and there was none of it. Now there's a glut.
It was my favorite thing because like I was so happy that I loved The Tick and the cartoon. It like mixed together with the monkeys for me. I was like, this is amazing. Did you know that?
That you like the monkeys?
No, that. The first season of The Tick, Arthur was Mickey Dolenz.
No.
Only on the first season. It wasn't any other seasons for some reason.
The cartoon?
The cartoon.
He did the voice for
The
Tick?
He did
the
voice for Arthur.
Oh, for Arthur.
Yep.
Gotcha. We did not know that, no.
I didn't know that.
I probably would
and
never know
knowing is half the battle. Actually, it's the full battle. All right, so let's take a quick second and talk about our sponsor.
We have a sponsor?
We do have a sponsor still.
Woohoo!
Cannot believe it, but we still do. If you're looking for great quality headphones, where can you go?
Best Buy.
Well, besides Best Buy.
Yeah, but you'll pay out the ass for Best Buy, though.
That's right, you will.
Amazon.
And I can't get you a discount on
and
either
Amazon,
of those places.
And you won't get good quality or a lifetime warranty.
What about 33% off?
Or that.
You could get free shipping, though.
What codes I have.
Let's talk about our place where we can get good headphones from.
And you can help out the show.
That's right.
Speaking well, that makes it worthwhile.
So, tweakedaudio.com is the place to go, not any place else. You're going to get 33% off your order, lifetime guarantee, and free shipping. What's that code, my friends?
Metal Geeks.
What is it?
Metal Geeks. One word.
That's right.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
No, why?
Metal Geeksa.
Geekso. No, it's Metal Geeks. You can get money off your thingy mubber. And
that's why we don't do this for a living.
What?
We don't do this for a living.
No, you know, we really don't. You know, we're not disc jockeys. We're on the live.
I listen to that show.
I sleep on the mattress that I got from Mattress Firm every night.
Oh, God. Rod Ryan from The Buzz does that shit.
Does he?
Yeah.
I hear it on some other shit, too. It's like, dude, you do not sleep on that.
Well, no, they probably do because they get free shit all the time. Because The Buzz people, they like get sponsored by Toyota or something. And they get like half off of their truck and shit like that. Stupid.
We need to... Different sponsor than we need Toyota.
Why, you need a new car?
No, but...
Unfortunately, I don't think we're that big of a podcast yet.
We can be.
Can be.
Let's get there and then we'll all get
And it all
Toyota.
Starts with tweakedaudio.com.
That's right. Buy a headphone from tweakedaudio.com. Metal Geeks. Yeah. You know what else you can go out to right now? Redbubble. We have our first official Metal Geeks shirts out there. Which is really cool. And if you check every once in a while, you sign up for their newsletter... They put 20% off coupons like all the time.
All the time?
All the time. I get coupons like two or three times a week.
How many shirts do you have now?
None.
You're wearing a shirt.
I'm wearing, not a Metal Geek shirt. I haven't ordered mine yet.
Oh.
He's still trying to flash those people from earlier. Right.
Hey, my last name is Gordon, so.
So
flash
you,
Gordon.
Are you trying to?
I got it.
He just didn't laugh.
I was going to go with a Batman killing joke route. I was like, so you're sleeping with Batman?
I'm not.
You sure?
My aunt is, though.
Oof.
You start calling him Carrie Babs Gordon?
Oh, yeah. That's your new name, man.
No, it's not. Hey, what's the timestamp? What do I need to say out now?
So what about the Metal Geek shirt? What they can do? Redbubble.com?
Redbubble.com. Search for Metal Geeks. And we have our cool shirt. It's actually done designed by Aaron Garcia from Deep in the Horror of Texas. We have a black version and a green version. Limited edition green.
Yeah, it looks very green. Mad Max-y.
Yeah.
It does look pretty cool. I saw the images.
I'm actually going to order one for myself, so...
Expect that for Christmas, everybody. Just saying.
Pretty much.
You do like 9 Metal Geek shirts.
Everybody needs a Metal Geek shirt in their life, right?
Exactly. It's going to be stocking stuffers for everybody.
So let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con that just happened. The Comic-Con.
Yeah?
So let's talk about it.
Sure. What do you want to start?
Let's talk about all the trailers that we saw.
Okay.
That everybody's been talking about.
Sure.
Where do you want to start first?
Netflix.
Yeah, since we're talking about Netflix, we should have segued from that.
I was thinking about that, but
they are killing it with the superhero shit, though. That's for damn sure.
So they announced season 3 for Daredevil. They didn't really show any teasers or anything. They showed a teaser, but
footage. But it has nothing to do with.
They showed Iron Fist, and they've shown
Luke Cage,
and they showed a weird teaser for the Defenders.
It was like an animation for the logo
with Nirvana in the background.
There's a few new scenes too in the little snippet.
Yeah,
new scenes from what?
For the Defenders, like there was new footage of Luke Cage, and
I think that was all for the Luke Cage show.
Well, it's all new to us, and
yeah.
Well, okay. I was like, I don't think it's for the Defenders. Well,
it was Luke Cage footage that was not in the Luke Cage trailer.
Gotcha.
So I assumed it was for the Defenders.
So they announced Daredevil season 3.
I'm surprised they didn't announce anything for Punisher.
I was a little bit too.
They have new footage of the Punisher in there too. So
did they?
There's one scene where the Punisher's walking away from a building that he just lit on fire.
That was the very end of season 2 of Daredevil.
Yeah.
One of the last shots.
It's a completely different shot than that one.
No, it's the exact same thing.
It's a different shot, I swear to God.
It's not.
It's a different shot.
I don't know.
I can't chime in on this. I have like 2 episodes left of Daredevil season 2 that I haven't watched. So.
Because the first time he actually wore the Punisher logo shirt.
Dude, it's a totally different scene.
I've watched
Daredevil season 2 like 3 times. It's a completely different scene.
And yet you still bitch about the same thing. I'm just
kidding. So Luke Cage season is going to be September 30th, so that's actually pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Next month.
It looks really good. And it has the Netflix superhero fight in a hallway.
Well, that's like the Marvel staple for Netflix.
It is.
You have to have one hallway fight scene.
Well, fun as hell to watch.
It's badass, though, man.
They keep escalating them, and they're all different, so...
Well, it's the same fight coordinator for all the shows, so.
That makes sense. Luke Cage just ripping off the car door and running in there.
That's the one thing that doesn't make sense in the trailer is why does he bother to rip the car door off?
That's what I was wondering.
The only reason
too.
To rip it off is because it looks cool when he like folds it around the guy.
Yeah.
Because he can. That's why he does it.
I know he can. But like, it's largely unnecessary.
It still hurts when I get hit.
Whose car is it? You know, it's just some like random.
That's what I
some
thought.
Random person's gonna come out and be like, "What the fuck happened?
Shit.
Where the fuck did my door go?"
It's probably that guy's car door is what it is. The guy that he's about to go fuck up.
I mean, we hope so. You know, I hope it's not some random passerby who's just like, "God damn it, I went to get a coffee. What the fuck?"
Like Luke Cage is supposed to be the man of the people in the streets. What happened to that?
No, but it looks incredible. Like I'm a big fan of Luke Cage, big fan of Iron Fist. I'm really excited for both of these. Mike Coulter, he's the perfect choice for Luke Cage.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to bring the Jessica Jones relationship back into Luke Cage?
Oh, they have to. They absolutely have to.
Well, yeah, they have a really big. Don't they get married?
Yeah,
they get married. They have a kid.
They have a kid.
Yeah.
And
they have a really long.
How they bring Squirrel Girl into it because doesn't Squirrel Girl eventually like babysit their kid?
I think there's one issue where she does, yeah. But I mean, you know, Squirrel Girl is what it is. I don't think that's really going to become a thing anytime soon.
Hopefully, it's not John Barrymore.
Gwenpool will happen before Squirrel.
No, that's not going to happen.
But I could totally see them doing Avengers spinoff teams. I mean, they're going to have to eventually.
You also mentioned one time they're supposed to be producing a She-Hulk TV show.
Yes, there's rumors they're doing a Netflix She-Hulk TV show.
Yeah,
yeah. There are people attached to it. Actually, I think they were working on the pilot.
It makes sense to be in this, you know. Version of the Marvel Universe.
That'd be really interesting to see how they pull it off.
Now, here's a big question. So, Avengers Infinity War is coming and all that good stuff.
Not called Infinity War anymore, but yeah.
Wasn't one of them still called Infinity War?
I don't know.
No.
I think they're changing the names entirely.
Well, whatever they're calling those two movies, do you think they're going to actually pull the characters from Netflix into it?
Yeah, they're going
to. That's what they've been talking about for the longest time. The only reason why Daredevil wasn't in this last one, because they didn't finish shooting, so he couldn't make it to set in time. Okay.
What about S.H.I.E.L.D., like characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I think they distinctly
Joss Whedon drew the line.
Yeah, they do not want to intermingle Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
at
I'm sure Coulson will be, but...
Well, no, I from what I understand,
Maria Hill's the only character they're letting cross over between the two of them.
Even Coulson's gone now?
Coulson's gone. Like, in Joss Whedon's mind, Coulson died at the end of Avengers number one, and he was not supposed to come back. And well, in fact, they brought him back for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of pissed him off.
Well, he worked on the first season of Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was an executive producer,
yeah. But he had no creative control over that kind of stuff.
And his brother did, though.
I don't think
his brother did.
I don't think he agrees with the fact that Coulson got brought back, and I think he kind of resents that. And he made a blanket statement that the two are not related.
Yeah, and it kind of cheapens the whole fact that they didn't let just Coulson die, because he was supposed to be the whole catalyst of why the group got together in the first place.
Yep.
And I don't know. And that's my biggest gripe of the MCU. Anyway, they don't let anyone die.
Same with the comics.
Yeah.
Well,
nobody ever dies.
People die all the time. They just come back a couple months later.
Yeah. Oh, man, speaking of the MCU.
I got shot with a time bullet. Fuck you. You did not.
they announced, what's-his-face is going to be the bad guy in Black Panther. The guy from Creed. And
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah,
Michael B. Jordan. What does he play? Kilgore or something like that.
Yeah, it's another usurper of the Panther throne, or somebody who's trying to like take it over. I don't remember very much about the character. Like, I've read a lot of Black Panther, but not any of the older 70s stuff, which is where he comes from. So I'm not super familiar with his
character. I just think it's so awesome. This is the third movie Michael B. Jordan's working with Ryan Coogler. I think that's how you say his name, right? Ryan Coogler, the director?
I think so, yeah.
He did Fruitvale Station, and then he did Creed, and now he's going to be doing this, Black Panther, which I think is a great nexus for that
Michonne,
director
Michonne
out of nowhere.
Michonne from Walking Dead is going to be on there, too.
You think she's going to be bald? Like, she's going to...
Probably.
Because she is, like, really bald.
The actress really is.
I think she probably will be.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. real quick, the season four, they did mention that it is going to have a Ghost Rider, but it's not the Ghost Rider that...
It's Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, everybody knows.
The worst Ghost Rider.
Well, at least it's something.
Is it?
Maybe. Nicolas Cage is upset. He's missing out on a paycheck, is what it is.
Like, I really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like every season's been better than the one before it. I have been a champion of that show since season one, even though a lot of people didn't like it. I knew it was going to be a spy story more than a superhero story, and it has been, and I've enjoyed it.
Until they introduced the other people, the aliens.
The Inhumans? I've enjoyed the Inhuman stuff.
So speaking of Inhuman, there's talk season four is going to actually feature some classic Inhumans.
Right, they're supposed to be bringing the original family in. So we're going to see Black Bolt, Medusa, Gorgon. It's quite possible.
Lockjaw?
Lockjaw would be awesome.
So here's a quote from Jed Whedon, who I guess Joss is not happy with because he brought back his Coulson. We do have a little more freedom, said Jed. We've told a couple of seasons of stories, but now we do have some more freedom. So when we return to focusing on the Inhumans, we'll be able to do it a little bit more. That freedom, including being able to use some of the classic Inhumans, we're pushing for Lockjaw.
Lockjaw and Gorgon would be amazing. Like, I would really like to see them.
I don't think they could pull Black Bolt and Medusa right away.
I think they'll time those guys
Who's
out.
Who's the dude with the fork on his
head? That's Black Bolt.
Oh, okay.
That guy's insanely powerful.
The tuning fork guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only way I recognize him. He has a fork on his forehead.
Because if he speaks, you're dead.
Yeah. His voice, a whisper of his voice is enough to shatter your eardrums. He's basically God from Dogma.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very, very true.
So he's not like super powerful. He just has a crazy
powerful
voice.
He has super
voice.
Strength and really like strong agility, and he's very flexible and all that kind of shit. Like, he's well trained, but he also can kill you with a whisper.
And his wife has hair that can kill you.
She has completely malleable and controllable hair that is like 14 feet long.
She's like Tangled.
If Rapunzel's hair could come up and kill you. Yes, just like Tangled.
She uses it to walk. Like, she doesn't even bother with her legs. She walks around on her hair most of the time. No, I'm excited for that. Robbie Reyes, less so. He's definitely my least favorite Ghost Rider. When he was first introduced a couple years ago.
A Ghost Rider and a Cadillac is what you said.
He's a young kid. He's like 16, I think, and his brother is even younger, like 13. And they're both Hispanic, and his younger brother is getting mixed up in a gang. So he steps in to like save him. And the gang's coming after him. They escape in a Cadillac that he stole because they're both kind of street hoodlums. And
hood rats.
When they're trying to make his getaway, he gets shot and turns into Ghost Rider.
Mm.
But the Cadillac becomes his vehicle. He's okay. He's just not that interesting compared to some of the other ones.
Maybe like, they'll take some good liberties and make it really interesting for the show.
I hope they can make me like the character, because right now I'm not a big fan.
So does he have the chains and stuff like the other Ghost Rider?
He eventually learns kind of how to use them, but it's not the same.
Oh, okay. Well, because like in the promo, they show like a flaming chain and stuff like that. I was like, oh shit, this is going to be like the real Ghost Rider.
I was really hoping it was going to be Johnny Blaze, but... Yeah. But it's not.
If it's not Nicolas Cage, fuck it.
I want to see Nicolas Cage drink a pot of boiling coffee again.
Right. Let's move on to the MCU, the movies.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff they showed we haven't seen yet. So the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot
of announcements that came out.
A lot of announcements.
We know basically who Kurt Russell is now.
We do know. Okay, spoiler.
So freaking weird.
It's a giant planet.
It's Ego, the living planet. He's sort of taking a human form in this, and it's Star-Lord's father.
Well, Ego is one of the main cosmic entities of the Marvel Universe. There's like 13, I believe.
Yep.
And he's... a living planet. It's exactly like you find pictures of Ego and the old stuff, and it's basically like a face that's all contorted and weird looking, and he's a planet that just kind of flies around the solar system.
Yeah, well, they're going to take some liberties for that.
And he's like Galactus' best friend.
Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense where they are.
They hang out and go to the mall all the time.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff.
They go to the Galactic
Mall. There's some weird stuff in Marvel Comics with the two of them, like having conversations. It's really weird. But you know that Thanos Quest is going to be the first of the Infinity War movies where Thanos has to go around and acquire the Infinity Gems. So introducing more cosmic entities makes a lot of sense. And I know we have the Stranger coming up because he's a big part of that. We already got the Collector. Now we've got Ego. Pretty soon we're going to see Living Tribunal and, Chaos and Order and some of those guys. I'm really looking forward to that stuff. But Ego being Peter Quill's dad is such a strange choice.
It is weird.
Especially considering he came down to Earth to mate with an Earth woman. Like, that really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but...
Maybe they're trolling us. Maybe he's going to be someone completely different when the movie comes out.
I don't think so.
I have faith in Marvel, and I really have faith in James Gunn, because he made the Guardians movie I wanted to see, and I still love that fucking movie so much.
It's very rewatchable, because I rewatched it a couple of days ago. I was like, fuck, this movie's fun.
It's
I forgot
so
how good.
Good
this movie is.
It is really good. Yondu is actually going to be part of the actual main team in this movie.
Right, and not only that, but he's back to his original character design. He's got the big spiky red hair.
Yeah, he has a giant mohawk.
He gets his hair back.
How does that work out from the last movie, though? Unless it magically grows and
his hair just grows and he's been shaving
it's not,
the whole time.
It's in the movie, though. It wasn't hair.
No, he gets it reattached somehow. It was
like a metal plate in his head.
It lets him control his darts better, because when they're talking about, like, Kevin Smith was talking about this because he saw the trailer, the teaser for it. It was talking about, so when his spiky hair scene, whatever the hell it is,
it's a mohawk.
When it lights up, it helps control, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And he came in full costume.
And Stallone's supposed to be in this movie, too.
Stallone's supposed to be in the movie.
Is he going
to
play the bad guy?
He's supposed to be playing...
Is he part of the... He's taking over the Reavers or something, right?
No, he's playing one of the cosmic entities, I believe.
Is he?
Yeah. Who did I just say? I just said... Is he the Stranger?
Yeah, you did say... Oh, okay.
Is he the Stranger?
I think he's the Stranger.
Was that announced, or are you just guessing?
No, they announced it.
Oh, okay.
Not at San Diego before then.
Oh.
I know he was in it, but I don't think that they ever announced who he's going to be, though.
I think they said he was the Stranger, like, a few weeks before San Diego.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
San Diego.
That's sort of cool. Get Stallone. They're going to have, like, subtitles for him.
What?
Is anybody in the movie named Adrian?
Well, they'll just say he's an alien that speaks an alien language. Subtitle him.
I am above the law.
Yeah, it sucks that footage has not leaked yet.
I know.
Like,
I did see the leaked footage for Thor Ragnarok, though.
Well, see, that's not even like real footage, though.
It's like a fake documentary.
Yeah, it's a fake documentary about where Thor has been this whole entire time. And it was filmed in New Zealand, which is where they're filming the new Thor Ragnarok. And the guy who made Hunt for the Wildebeest, he's a very comedic director. So it's very funny-esque, and that's why he has a roommate, and his name is Jeff. and he plays tic-tac-toe with his roommate Jeff. And Mark Ruffalo shows up at some point.
Yes, he does. And Hulk has the armor.
Yeah.
It's yeah, awesome. So they're mismashing two stories together.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of, they do that a lot.
But Planet Hulk, I'm reading Planet Hulk fully from back to front for the first time. Like, I always knew the story, but I'm actually reading it now.
It's really good, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's probably
the best Hulk story ever written.
Yeah, it's seriously the most fun Hulk story I've ever read.
Yeah.
I can totally see how they can mix-mash them together, because Hulk's in the Planet Hulk... I mean, Thor's in the Planet Hulk story, so it makes sense.
Well, I just hope they introduce Beta Ray Bill if they're gonna go that route.
All right, while we're still on the Guardians tip, let's discuss this.
Tit or tip?
Tip.
Oh, okay.
With a P.
You want a P?
No, right now. I'm good. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for asking, though. I appreciate it.
I wasn't gonna help.
All right. I didn't ask for your help.
It sounded like you wanted my help.
I know I'm old and everything, but I can still do that shit on my own. Let's talk about the attraction coming to Disneyland, to California Adventure.
Yeah.
I heard a big sigh over there. You're like, oh, fuck.
Well, they're getting rid of Tower of Terror.
All right, so I'm going to preface this. If you've been to Tower of Terror in Florida, it's one of the best attractions in the whole fucking city, you know? The one in California, not as much. It's really? Still good, but there's a couple things that just sort of fall flat, and that was not any kind of, like, joke that could have falling and all that, but...
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. The one in Florida is much, much better, and I can see how retrofitting Guardians of the Galaxy into it can work, but I'm not really excited for it. It's weird, because...
It's supposed to be the prison escape from the movie.
Escaping from the collector.
They're from the collector, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the prison.
So the whole queue area, they're going to open up more of that. It's all going to be like you're going through the collector.
If they don't put Howard the Duck in that fucking ride, I'm going to be pissed.
I know, right? But see, the one in Florida, you go up the elevator shaft, and then you go up, and then you go forward through stuff, and then you come down.
Yeah,
so, yeah. The thrill ride part of the ride
right.
is on the opposite side of the building.
Right, not in California. You go up the shaft... It sounds bad. And then you go down the shaft. That's it.
That's how it works, right?
And then you go back up again.
Then you go back up and then down until you're finished. And then you get off.
And then you...
then you get off.
Get off the ride. You're done. This is why the show has...
Man, I've never seen you blush this much. This is funny.
All right, going back to being Disney now.
He has said way more graphic stuff on the show. It was like actually really well handled. He's a mess.
Well, he's used to me and George saying the ridiculous things. He said it this time.
I don't know. What the fuck is wrong with me, man? I don't know. So
we're rubbing off on you.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Gross.
I can still go to the bathroom by myself.
Okay.
I'm going home.
I got to get your opinion. What do you think about the retrofitting this into... I think it would have been much better if it was a completely different ride.
It's weird. I have not done the one in California, so I said that to you in my message that I don't know if the... Tower of Terror in California is just garbage and needed to be replaced.
Not
anyway.
Garbage, but it's
I don't know.
Not as good.
Okay, I don't know. I've never done
it. The attendance is low on that ride.
Better ride in Florida.
It's much smoother in Florida.
Yeah.
Shaft is bigger.
I'm afraid...
I'm about to say it's a bigger ride.
I'm hoping that it's not riding on the wall for the one in Florida. Because the one in Florida is so good. The theming... Like, the approach to the building is so good.
It's the same
they
in California.
Nailed it.
But...
And I also love Twilight Zone. And
see, this,
I understand...
my fear. Like, if they do the Guardians ride and it turns out to be really good, it's like, oh, we should do this to the Florida one.
You can't do it to Florida. You can't do Marvel attractions in Florida.
Not yet. But someday.
Eventually.
But that's not to say that they don't go, oh, well, we did this overlay of the ride in California and it was a success. We need to do an overlay of the one in Florida, too, and just do something else. And I really don't want them to do that. I really like Twilight Zone. I really love that ride. The theming and the attraction as a whole is awesome. And I really don't want them to... I
agree.
And, you know, and some people will say, well, but Twilight Zone isn't relevant anymore, and young people,
bringing it back, though, aren't they?
Young people have,
I've heard that,
have trouble identifying with it, like, because they don't understand what it is. It,
yeah, but
if that park is going to continue to have any connection to Hollywood Adventure or whatever it is they end up calling it, they need that. They need some old Hollywood in the park. Mm-hmm. They can't turn it into all new stuff.
Right.
They need to keep
it. It can't all be Star Wars land.
It can't be. They need to keep it there.
No. Not all of it. Most of it, but not all of it.
I think they're going to do whatever makes them the most money.
Yeah. And in the end, it's always about money.
You know, unfortunately, that may be the way of the future, just to do what's popular.
I like that it's there, just that it keeps Twilight Zone on the radar, in a manner of speaking.
For example, yeah, look what they did with for Frozen.
They've retrofitted Frozen fucking everywhere.
Exactly.
They took out the best, one of the best shows at California Adventure was Aladdin, the musical show. And they got rid of that, and now it's Frozen.
You know, the only thing I know about that show is about some guy, it's one of the cast members almost died on that ride. It's the only thing I know.
Are you talking about the scene where...
where she's like, the magic flying carpet flipped upside down, yeah, and she was
about
to die.
That footage, that's creepy.
Yeah, and no one was doing anything, everyone was just staring at
it. No, they eventually were, because they were screaming for their lives. That thing is like, it's like way high up there. So we just watched, we'll get back to the Marvel stuff at San Diego real quick, but I just watched it last night on YouTube, this hour walkthrough of Shanghai Disneyland.
I've watched some Shanghai Disneyland,
and it was
stuff.
Cool because it was a gimbaled walkthrough of the park, but the park feels very empty.
Chinese.
No. Well, yes. It's designed very. It's designed weirdly. Is a normal park. I don't know. It's we watched a video. It's sort of. Wow.
It was a bad joke. Sorry.
No, it was really funny. That was great.
That's because it's in China.
What? Did not know that.
But okay, so there's so much empty space in this park. It just feels unfinished.
Empty space, like it's uninhabited, or that
uninhabited. There's weird spots where the grass hasn't grown yet. There's just weird. There's a lot of just weird fucking areas. They're just like the super super wide walkways. And there's only like six or seven attractions. All right, let's go back to a Comic Con now.
Sure.
What's that? What other trailers were you guys excited for?
Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, we already talked about
Iron Fist.
No,
we were only talking about Luke Cage. Yeah,
that's true.
Iron Fist, but we didn't see much of it. It was like a teaser.
Oh, it was just enough to really make me feel like it was taken very, very much from Car Andrews' run.
Just enough of the fist for you?
Just enough fist, yeah.
That's what I figured.
So Car Andrews wrote and drew.
When was this his run of it?
Back in 2012, I believe. It was
so
called
current.
Iron Fist, the Living Weapon. And it was an origin story, and it was like 12 issues. But, man, everything I saw in that trailer looked straight out of his run. I really hope that's what it is, because like, I really loved his run.
You think this is going to make this character popular again? Because I don't ever think Iron Fist has ever been popular until...
he teamed up with Luke Cage.
Well, until he did the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show, the one that's on Disney Channel.
Well, Iron Fist has always had a following, but usually...
It's a very small following.
He's
didn't really
like a tier 2 character.
Yeah, it definitely didn't become into the ether until
it's just like
Luke Cage and
Daredevil
Iron Fist.
Was super popular when he first came out back in the day, but a lot of people have kind of forgotten about him, and it's only because of Netflix now that people are discovering him, and, well, you know, that is what it is, but, you know, new people are discovering him, and some people are even, like, saying he's their favorite character now.
Right.
I think the same kind of benefit could go to Iron Fist... or Luke Cage, or anybody that Netflix chooses to do a highlight on, like a Moon Knight show. I'm praying to God that a Moon Knight show happens. Like,
which god are you praying to?
The Moon Knight god.
Yes.
What's the Moon Knight god's name?
Oh, fuck. Put me on the spot.
Oh, you should know.
Artemis.
I don't think it's Artemis.
Khonshu.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm praying to Khonshu that they do a Moon Knight show. There we go. This is about as valid as the other gods, I believe.
It all goes to the same place.
Yeah, the toilet.
It's like the suggestion box. It's an incinerator where it all goes into.
But seriously, Marvel Gods, make a Moon Knight show. That'd be amazing.
if my Moon Knight knowledge is correct, it's a vigilante who has a multiple personality disorder.
Schizophrenia, and there's four different people that you don't really know if he's crazy, and these are just four personality traits of him, or these are actually four people that inhabit his soul. Like, there's four different souls inside the body of Mark Spector, and each one has the ability to take control at a different period of time, because he's been told both things. And it drives him crazy because he never really knows which is true.
Hmm.
And he can still see, like, no matter which version it is, they can see Khonshu, who's the god of passengers of the night. And he's a vigilante. He's like basically Marvel's answer to Batman. He has all the same kind of stuff. He's like super rich, has all these gadgets, creates a bunch of shit. But he's
super rich and super crazy.
And super crazy, yes. He's like awesome. Batman and the Joker merged into one. And
yeah,
to work for
pretty much.
Does he have any good villains?
He's Marvel's Batman.
That's usually like Marvel's like downside is are their villains.
Maybe. That's, I mean, like, they could certainly do like Werewolf by Night and introduce some of the more like horror villain stuff or characters that kind of walk the line of being heroes or villains. Like, I mean, those were who Moon Knight dealt with back in the day, like Morbius, Living Vampire.
You know what I just realized about Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
What?
It's gonna be a Tango and Cash reunion.
Yeah.
Wow. That's sort of cool.
Yeah. But Moon Knight would be cool. I mean, they didn't announce that or anything. It's just, you know, on my wish list.
They'll get there.
I hope so.
Maybe they'll announce it with She-Hulk.
That'd be great, too. They also showed a sneak peek trailer teaser thing for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Which I have not seen any of that yet.
The only thing I've seen is him walking out, and then they cut to black, and then they come back.
It took me 25 minutes to find it, and it's like really grainy cell phone footage from like the back of the auditorium.
Oh, really?
There is some new footage of Spider-Man, and there's some new footage of Tom Holland, like, you know, walking the hallways of his school and talking to people and stuff. And there's a couple scenes with Aunt May, but they don't show the villain. You know, they only really started principal photography and like some.
The Vulture is the villain in this one, right?
Supposed to be the Vulture. Supposed to be Michael Keaton.
He's
still attached to the movie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know for sure that's who he's playing.
Is it just one villain, or are they going to do multiples?
Nobody really knows.
Yeah.
The cast list for this movie is absolutely bonkers. They've got like 35 people announced for this movie, and nobody knows who the fuck anybody's playing. Every week they're like, so and so joined the cast. We're not telling you anything.
They showed the teenagers, like who's supposed to be his like circle of friends in high school, and they had like this really fat Asian kid, and then they had the Indian kid from I think he's Indian from. Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they've announced a lot of people.
Those are the only, like, people.
There's a couple of girls from, like, Disney shows that are supposed to be on it.
Did I recognize? I don't think I recognized any of them.
That makes sense.
There's a lot of adults in there, too, like real actors that we have no clue who they're playing, but they're attached. So, I don't know. We'll find out more as it goes on. I mean, this was, you know, the very beginning of it, but it's still out there if you want to do the legwork and find it.
Any other Marvel trailers that we were excited for?
The Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Looks really cool.
The Inception
that
with magic.
That movie is going to, if nothing else, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be a movie you watch stoned as fuck.
Mads Mikkelsen looks pretty good as a villain.
Yeah.
So is he like a popular villain? I have no idea. I don't know anything about Doctor Strange besides
his
origin.
I don't know a whole lot. I basically know the origin story, and that's, I don't know a whole lot.
He's basically somebody who thinks that Doctor Strange shouldn't be the Sorcerer Supreme. He feels like he got passed over, and he's out for revenge. That's basically where that comes from.
So it's Kung Fu Panda.
Well, you know, Doctor Strange came a long time before Kung Fu Panda, but sure.
I'm just saying, you know.
So here is the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming so far. You got Tom Holland, Robert Downey Jr., Michael Keaton. They say he's going to play the Vulture. Marissa Tomei, Donald Glover, Zendaya, Hannibal Buress, Martin Starr.
Oh, yeah, I like him. He's funny.
Nobody else. I don't know who they are.
Hannibal Buress or Buress.
Yeah,
Buress. Whatever. He's funny.
He is funny.
I wonder who Donald Glover is going to be. Do you think... always wanted to be Spider-Man, so do you think Miles Morales will
He's too
make
old
it?
To play Miles Morales now.
No,
he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He still looks really young. He could totally pass for like a 17-year-old Miles Morales.
Nah, he looks like a college or an older college guy at this point.
Well, they made Patrick Stewart look like he's 30 in movies and stuff. Like they can.
I doubt they're going to 35-year-olds play high school students for ages.
That's true. Yeah. I doubt they're going to do that for this movie though.
Topher Grace pretended he was in college for Spider-Man 3. You know.
Well, so did Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I mean you can suspend that disbelief a little bit.
I don't know. I don't see. I like Donald Glover. I just don't think he's going to be.
Or they can just change Miles Morales so he's a little bit older.
Maybe. But, I mean, I don't think see how that's going to fit into this
I don't
movie
either,
universe.
But, you know, I don't know how Ego is supposed to be, you know. You know, it's just Marvel can do whatever they want, apparently. We'll just have to trust them.
They just print money at this point.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to DC?
Sure.
So, Justice League had a trailer. What did you think about it?
I am cautiously optimistic about it.
Yeah.
I think
the trailers always look good until you see the movies.
Right. It's exactly what happened with Batman vs. Superman. The Batman vs. Superman like Comic-Con trailer was the tits. And then the movie came out, and then it wasn't the tits.
It was the opposite of tits.
It was like shitty tits. Shitty titties.
Man boobs.
Man boobs.
It was shitty titty.
Hairy, sweaty tits.
I think the main problem with me for those trailers, I think, because they had to go back to reshoot some stuff to make it. It's like, oh,
well, that was Suicide Squad. That
well, no, they also did it for Justice League too. They made it at a point to make it seem more fun. That was DC's motto.
Okay,
like we need to have more fun,
and that came through in the trailer.
Yes. However, jokes doesn't make a better movie.
Well,
there is jokes in it.
Yeah, there was a lot of jokes.
I hear
jokes.
You talk to fish.
Yeah.
That's not a joke.
Then on top of that, the whole dialogue between him and Wonder Woman is like, is he in? Is he out? And then fucking the Flash, which yeah. I think the costume looks like shit.
But Ezra Miller, just in that little bitty, little nothing of a trailer, completely had me do a 180 on him.
He was the best part of the trailer.
I completely had no faith in him. I was pissed off that Grant Gustin got passed over for the role.
Yeah.
I thought Ezra Miller was going to fucking suck. But
well, the guy's a good actor. I mean,
just that little bit, I was like,
what have
he
been in before?
Just a lot of independent movies. He was in like Perks of the Wallflower and a couple of other like.
I hated that movie.
But he's a good actor in those movies.
He was okay, but I could not see him as the Flash. I could not see him as Barry Allen. And, you know, that the whole perky attitude and the, you know, spastic talking and all that
kind
of stuff.
I need friends.
Everything he said, all of his mannerisms, I was smitten almost with him as the Flash.
I just don't like the costume.
I can forgive bad costumes.
That costume looked like shit. And then Cyborg looks like
doesn't
shit.
Look really
yeah,
good
yeah.
Either.
But I mean, he's going to be expensive to make.
Yeah.
So
which is stupid.
Yeah, I didn't like the Cyborg design. It's.
I don't know. I want Justice League to be good because I want DC movies to be better.
They're not ever going
it's
gonna to
be. It's going
to
be
with Zack
terrible.
Snyder in charge, it will never be. It'll never
you know
be
what
better.
Zach, you know what Zack Snyder is good at? He's great at making beautiful looking imagery.
Yeah, he's good at making great cinematic moments.
That's
he just can't tell good stories.
Like the shot where the water's coming up at Aquaman. That's a beautiful looking shot.
Yeah, it looks great.
But yeah. I
and
heard
like,
you talk to fishes. Come
and
on.
And, like, is Aquaman supposed to have, like, the cataract fucking
well,
contacts
Jason,
the whole entire
Jason,
time?
Jason Momoa's Aquaman is drastically different from comic book Aquaman.
Yeah, well, I like the approach they're going with. They're trying to make him a more
but he's
hardened...
not the he's not Aquaman like they make fun of on Robot Chicken?
Well, I mean, like, you read, like, Injustice or something. Like, Arthur Curry is not a man to be trifled with. And
he's badass in that game.
Have you read the story?
I have not.
Like... He basically destroys like an entire city. Like it's pretty insane. You need to read the comic. It's really good.
Even the Aquaman comic from the New 52 version that I read was not that bad.
I'm not a huge Aquaman fan or anything. I know people that, you know, would die for the character, but I do like the take they're going with it with Jason Momoa.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
It's a way to make him more acceptable to the general public. Than,
yeah, he talks to fish.
You know, and that's a cute little nod to like what everybody perceives him as, because everybody
right.
thinks he's just this joke character, and everybody's always thought that. I mean, you go back and watch the 1960s cartoon for Aquaman, and oh my god, he's like, come along, little tadpole, we have work to do.
That's
fucking horrible.
What is that, Justice Friends?
No, the Aquaman cartoon from the 60s.
I don't remember
that. Him and Aqualad, and he's like, Aqualad, climb on my seahorse. We must go to find Mera. It's just god-awful, just bad. Innuendo everywhere.
It's back in the day when they used the same shots over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. I also don't like how they're making Batman the... What should be the Superman character.
Yeah, but... Superman is dead, air quotes.
Well, he's going to show up at the end of this movie.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to save the day.
You think it'll be all the way at the end?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be at the end. They're going to show tidbits of it happening throughout the movie, and he's going to show up at the end to save the day.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty predictable. But, I mean, Batman's basically playing the same role that Iron Man played in Avengers. You know, he's the guy with the money. He's the guy with the resources to go around and recruit the team. Plus, Batman is the planner of the group. He's the one who always...
But in the comics, he's the one who didn't want to be in the Justice League.
Yeah, but Batman... But Superman, Bruce Wayne has a day plan.
In a way, in Dawn of Justice, Superman did convince him that they needed to do that.
Did they, though?
He kind of did.
Did they?
So, I still haven't seen Batman vs. Superman, and I don't really give a shit, but... I'm going to continue to say that Ben Affleck is still fucking awful.
He's the best thing in that movie.
Nope.
Just the trailer, I cannot fucking stand him. That's terrible.
Him as Bruce Wayne. You should watch him as Batman, because he's really fucking good as Batman.
Okay. Well, he's fucking awful as Bruce Wayne then.
But Bruce Wayne is awful.
I thought he was pretty good. He's definitely like my favorite.
Let's talk about the better Batman trailer that we saw. The Lego Batman trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Yay.
That is going to be great.
It's pretty great.
It's funny.
Will Arnett's really funny.
I was a little worried that it was just going to be like just a cash grab from the last Lego movie because it was so successful, but it turned out, it's looking like it's going to be good.
Every joke in there was funny.
Will Arnett is the best Lego
Batman. The Robin?
I don't know who that is.
It's Michael Cera.
Is it really? Yes.
Right, but I don't know which Robin it's
which
supposed
Robin.
To be.
Oh, right.
Because supposedly he accidentally adopted him from an adoption agency, so it's not Dick Grayson.
From a gala, is what he said.
Yeah, it's not. It can't be any of the Robins we know, right?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. It's Lego, so they can do anything they want.
I mean, it's not the Dick Grayson story. It's not the Jason Todd story. It's definitely not the Damian Wayne story.
No.
I don't think none of that comic book stuff matters.
Maybe it's Tim Drake. I mean, maybe that's the only one they've...
Well, there's already a Robin costume existing.
Yeah, what was it?
It was the Reggae Man costume.
Reggae Man costume. That's why there's a big R on it.
Yeah.
All right.
Fair enough. That was a big joke.
I'm sure
that made no sense out of context. No, that was the Reggae Man costume.
That's what
No, no, it did. It did. They said Reggae Man on it.
No, I know, but people listening who haven't watched this trailer, like, what?
If you're listening and you haven't watched the trailer, stop the show. Go watch the trailer. You will thank us later.
It does look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. I don't think it has.
I'm way more excited about it than anything Ben Affleck has associated with.
I would think that they would have to, I mean, they got Batman and the Joker. They got Robin. I would think it would have to be, one of the Robins. It would be weird just to have some random kid be Robin.
Maybe this would be, the test run adoption.
When he, returns him at the end?
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
This kid is demanding fucking seatbelts. I'm not putting up with this shit.
I love how he does the Mexican seatbelt at the end of it. It's great. Funny.
Exactly right. Wow, that movie is gonna be hilarious. I was playing Lego Dimensions a couple weeks ago, and there's a level where you go and you fight. It's like you're on a table, and there's waves of characters from each, you know. So Lord of the Rings and the Batman characters show up, and once you beat all those that wave, it turns into a live action scene with Joel McHale. It's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen in a video game. Hmm. I was totally out of the movie, you know what I mean? He's like...
Strange.
Yeah. You look it up on YouTube. I'm sure you can find that clip of Joel McHale helping you rebuild the Batmobile to get back into the game.
That's weird.
It's very weird. It's cool, though.
What other big DC news came out?
Well, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, Wonder Woman.
So, the Wonder Woman trailer actually looks promising to me.
Maybe.
Maybe. Why?
It looks amazing.
I think Gal Gadot is great, and they got the director from Game of Thrones, and I don't know. It just looks like an awesome action World War I movie.
It still could totally fall flat, but so far, most of the things that I keep seeing from DC I'm immediately going, this is going to be garbage. This is going to be complete
That's
shit.
That's what I'm afraid of.
This I'm looking at and going, this could be good. And I hope that it is. I hope that it is good. I don't like that I'm having to shit all over the DC movie universe. My favorite comic character of all time is Batman. I love Batman. And it makes me angry that I can't enjoy the current iteration of Batman.
Why won't you let me love you?
So the Wonder Woman doesn't look bad.
I think it looks great.
So you know what is promising for the DC entertainment, all the movies and all that?
Justice League Dark.
Zack Snyder might not have that much input anymore, because guess who is now president of DC Entertainment?
Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns.
I thought that was announced last year. It wasn't like news to me.
He was made the CEO last year, but not the president. Now he's the president.
Is it the same
CEO.
Fucking thing, nope, being CEO?
No. Completely different chains of command.
Oh.
He's over everything now.
Isn't that CEO over everything?
Stan Lee was the CEO of Marvel for a long-ass time and didn't actually do anything.
He still does nothing.
Well, he's doing things on his own properties now, but yeah. He was the CEO and Joe Quesada was running everything. Now Joe Quesada is, like, in charge of it all.
Yep.
Now Jeff Johns is the same position, basically, for DC.
Mm.
I mean, CEO is basically a figurehead.
But the president. Yeah, that's why I thought Jeff Johns was, like, end-all, be-all. Yeah,
he was just a figurehead. Now he's the president, and he has real creative control over everything.
So he's over the film department. He's over everything now, pretty much.
Well, supposedly he gave creative input for Batman versus Superman.
Well, I'm sure they consulted with him, and they have to, because he knows everything there is to know about DC. But
I mean, God, at what point did Jeff Johns say, like, oh, man, that doesn't sound like a good idea. You're putting, like, four comic books in one movie. No? Nobody? Nobody said, oh, maybe we should...
I don't know.
Knock it down to maybe two.
You know, there's other people, investors and whatnot, I'm sure that had, you know, they were like, we have to make this the best movie ever. Make it as long as possible and put as much as you possibly can in there.
Actually, I bought Batman vs. Superman because it was only $10.
The ultimate one?
Yeah, for $10 on Blu-ray.
Where'd you get that? I'd buy it for $10.
I saw it at a movie exchange for $10.
Did you really buy it for $10?
Hell yeah.
It was only $10.
I don't know, but...
No?
I don't know if I ever really want to watch it again.
Well, I haven't watched it yet. It's still sitting on my thing. But what I want to do is I want to do a fan re-edit. I want to see if I can re-edit the movie and fix that fuck fest of a movie.
Because everybody's talking about how the extended edition, the extra half an hour, makes it a much better movie. And I don't know.
I hear that it explains the beginning of the movie a lot more, but that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. I've seen the first hour of the extra footage.
Y'all did see the trailer for Justice League Dark, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that looks great. I'm excited for that.
I am, too.
You know what's exciting, though? The reboot of Mystery Science Theater.
That's going to Netflix.
I thought I was going to be the only one who wanted to talk about
that. No, I want to talk about that.
You mentioned Joel McHale earlier.
Yep.
He's a writer.
He's a writer on it. So was Dan Harmon from the Community, which is going to be
so you're
great.
On board.
I'm on board.
I know him from Rick and Morty.
I mean,
all that too.
And Harmontown.
Yeah.
But Community is my first love.
So the other cool thing that they announced, though, is besides it being on Netflix and all that, is that they are bringing back a lot of the old cast members.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. So
is it going to have the same format as the old show where there's like a small little plot line where that just gives them an excuse to watch a movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the new plot line is... what's the new guy's name?
Jonah Ray.
Jonah Ray is your new normal or whatever. And Felicia Day is the new villain. And she is the daughter of Pearl Forrester. Yes. So, and the granddaughter of Professor Forrester from the original run of the show.
All right.
They didn't mention this in the article that I saw on this, but I assume it's still happening. Patton Oswalt is TV son of TV's Frank,
I read that recently too. Yes,
And I think that's hilarious.
So Patton Oswalt involved with the show?
Yeah,
I thought he was kind of taking a break
after his wife.
I don't know, but before all that, he had been on board to play a character that was TV son of TV's Frank.
He's one of the funniest guys alive, though.
I agree.
I'd totally watch it if just
is hysterical.
Yeah.
And so I hope he's still involved with it. So they've also announced that they're getting Mary Jo Pell is coming back to write and to do basically cameo appearances as Pearl Forrester. And they, Bill Corbett is going to come back, and I think he's writing as well, and he's going to come back as Brain Guy, and Kevin Murphy's going to come back and be Professor Bobo.
Any relation to you, Justin?
No.
Okay.
There's actually a lot of Corbetts out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think he spells his different from you as well. But I'm really excited.
There's a lot of Gordons out there, too, and I'm not related to any of them.
Except for Barbara Gordon.
Except for Barbara Gordon.
I'm glad that it's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm hoping that the reason that they pulled a lot of their stuff off of Netflix like a year ago is so that they could use it as bargaining chips for this and that we're going to get a lot of that stuff back. That would be really cool. So
yeah, that would be cool. So as far as like we talked about the movie side of San Diego, what about the comic book side of San Diego?
Yeah.
Any news front on that, Justin? I got one comic from San Diego, and it was a comic I had to buy.
Was it the Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken special, number 2?
Is that a real comic?
Yeah.
Shut up.
The San Diego exclusive. Like, they, shut up. The second year in a row they've done it.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck is going on over at KFC, but it's kind of awesome.
I know. Like, I love it too.
Why is that? It's not kind of awesome. It's amazingly awesome.
What are you talking about?
The new extra crispy kernel is excellent.
Can I ask you a question, though? Have you ever once stepped back in the KFC after all these commercials?
Yeah. I haven't eaten there a lot, actually.
I don't eat KFC, not even once.
I just get chicken nuggets. They're great.
Pink slime, bro. Anyway, so there's a...
I worked at McDonald's for like 9 years.
That's pink slime right there.
Talk to me about pink slime.
So there's a KFC comic book.
Yeah. Yeah, Colonel, it's like Colonel Sanders versus the universe.
What the fuck? Does he beat people with chicken or what does he do?
I've never read it. Like, I really want to get a copy.
I want to read this shit.
I'm sure there's a digital copy somewhere.
I'm sure there is, too. Yeah, but there was a issue number 2 came out this year. Issue 1 was an exclusive last year.
Do you see the Rick and Morty exclusive cover from, like, The Last of Us?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to talk about the Rick and Morty panel where they read a court case.
I did see that, too.
Holy shit, was that
But apparently there's
thing
a.
Ever.
Did you see the Rick and Morty cameo in the Justice League?
I did. It was in the background in the TV.
What?
It's
when,
Flash.
When he's in Ezra Miller's room, Bruce Wayne's watching Rick and Morty on the TV in the background.
Really?
It's pretty great.
I didn't see that. But apparently, no, like, the I saw the Comic Con version, the variant. It was just them recreating The Last of Us cover.
That's awesome.
I was like, that is pretty fucking cool.
Well, Rick and Morty's, all their comics are somewhat of a joke of old movie posters.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I bought Jeff Smith's Bone Coda, the last chapter of Bone.
Yeah. I know you're a big Bone fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bone, the comic book.
There's a lot of fucking dick jokes in this episode tonight. What the hell's going on?
Because you like
dick. There's no fart joke.
You call this one Dickery Geekery?
Maybe.
San Diego Dickery.
There wasn't a whole lot comic-wise that was announced that I really cared that much about. I mean, there was a lot of new issues announced for the independent guys, but
yeah. Those
aren't really worth talking about until they're actually out because you don't know anything about them.
But Comic-Con's really not about the comics anymore.
I know. It's so disappointing. Actually, well, it was really funny. Somebody posted a flyer on Facebook and it said Actor Con and it was and it said nothing but comic creators from wall to wall. There's this one actor guy who played a role and died in the first 10 minutes of a movie in the corner somewhere, but it's really Actor Con. It's like nothing but comics. I was like, I want to go to that.
Deadly Class got announced for a TV show.
Deadly Class did get announced, and the price for issue 1 is quite a bit.
You probably already own that.
I have 3 copies of issue 1.
There you go.
He's taking out the vacation now.
Well, I mean, they're only like $35 each now, but that's a lot better than the $3 they were worth before.
It's a cheap vacation.
It's going to be a Showtime show?
I'm not sure what network they announced it on.
But the Russo brothers are the showrunners.
Have you read it?
The Russo brothers?
I have the first 3 volumes of the graphic novels. Yeah.
Really?
It's a really good comic. Like, Rick Remender's one of my favorite writers.
Well, it's a takes place in the 80s.
Yeah.
And everyone's crazy about the 80s right now.
That's true. I didn't really think about that angle of it, but yeah, it totally a good time to jump on that.
It's been 30 years, so it's time for the retro 80s stuff.
There's another comic book that got announced for a TV show, and I can't remember what it is right now. I'm sure it's going to come to me when it's not important.
Isn't it sad when the 80s is 30 years ago?
I'm 31, yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's still more like TV news than comic news.
I mean, it's a comic book.
The only real comic news was that they announced Mutants versus Inhumans as like a final battle kind of thing.
Like, they're for sure killing off all the X-Men.
For sure killing off like a vast majority of the X-Men. I'm sure there are some characters that will hang on
to. We discussed this a little bit last week, too. How it's a lot. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with not having the rights for the movies and stuff.
Probably.
Like, just like the Fantastic Four they just stopped doing it.
Probably.
They just kind of shift them into different comics.
But I can't remember the exact name, but they announced the crossover event that's going to be the war between the two of them.
X-Men versus the Inhumans?
Yeah.
And I know it's happening.
It's kind of cool that Inhumans are getting some kind of like...
I think
some shine in the light again.
It's a really interesting way that Marvel introduced them and everything. And I think it's the Terrigen Mist killing off mutants is interesting. They've made a lot of cool decisions, but like at the same time, why can't they coexist? Because X-Men have such a great history and so many great characters.
Maybe it's one of those things where you have to burn it down to rebuild it.
Maybe so, but I mean, Bendis has been introducing new characters for the last 5 years that are great X-Men that haven't really been explored yet.
Mm.
Like Gold Balls, for instance, is one of my... Balls. I love Gold Balls. He's just like...
Now we have it on record, okay.
Yes. Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love Gold Balls. He's like a 300-pound Hispanic kid that shoots gold balls out of his hand, and that's his mutant power. He's amazing, and he's a smartass, too. Like, he's totally, like, my favorite new X-Man. Right now, he's living in a dorm room with Miles Morales and what's the other guy? One of the other young new heroes. Can't think of who it is, but...
Which series is it?
In the Spider-Man series.
In the Spider-Man series?
Yeah, he became part of the Spider-Man series, I guess, to get him more notoriety, but I loved him from, you know, the get-go, because really, Gold Balls, what's not to love?
I used to like Speedball.
Until he became what?
Like cocaine Speedball?
No, not cocaine Speedballs.
Until Civil War, when he became Penance and, like, put spikes all over himself.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I wish they could just coexist. Like, there's characters that haven't been explored yet that are probably going to get killed off because of this
giant war.
Yeah. Which sucks.
But do you think they're really going to kill off major, major characters like Storm? And
they already killed off Wolverine.
Well, I was about to say. Well,
nobody cares about him.
A lot of people.
Hugh Jackman does.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of those kind of characters that I think are going to go. Some will stay. I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody like Colossus stay a part of it. But a lot of the major players in X-Men history are probably going to get killed off.
So speaking of X-Men, we saw the Legion TV trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's
today.
Right,
Let's
the Legion trailer.
It looks awesome.
That looks amazing. Look awesome. From the creator, from the producers of the Fargo TV show.
Yeah.
They're making this.
When I first heard they were going to do a Legion TV show, I was like, how the fuck is that going to work? But
it does sort of make sense. It does justice. I hope it comes to a point where it's like, you don't need to know anything about it when you're watching it, because I'm definitely part of that camp that I don't know much about them.
Most people don't. I mean, Legion, even the stories focused about Legion are very short lived. And
wasn't a whole series based on him recently?
They did a series based on him. But I mean, really, the thing everybody knows him from is like the Muir Island stuff way back in the late 90s.
Yeah,
when he almost killed everybody because he's Xavier's son. And he's the most powerful mutant that was ever born.
They have to trap him in somebody's mind or something? I don't forget how they trapped him.
Basically, Xavier has to kill his own son to stop him.
I think it's getting late because my dog just went to bed.
There was another announcement because of a comic book. The Batman Ninja Turtles crossover comic became so popular that they decided to make a Ninja Turtles Batman TV show.
Is it a full series or just like just a couple episodes?
It's not even a TV series. It's like an internet show.
As far as I know, it's going to air on Nickelodeon.
It's everything I read, it's from the guy that did Invader Zim, and it's going to be a short.
No. That was a short that he did for Comic-Con, but there's going to be an actual show for Batman and Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Yeah. There was a different short that...
Okay.
How do you say his name? Is Joan Vasquez?
Joan Vasquez.
Yeah, he did a whole short that I have. I put it on my Facebook. It's great.
Hmm.
It's like Donnie versus Raph, which is fun. And it's in his weird Invader Zim style.
That's
which
cool.
is awesome. But yeah, they announced that they're going to do... I think it's going to be a very short run. but it's going to be a Batman Ninja Turtles TV show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome, because I loved that comic.
The comic was really good.
And
any other movie trailers that came out that we need to touch upon? What about, like, Kong?
Kong Skull Island. What do y'all feel about that?
I didn't watch the trailer.
You didn't watch the trailer?
I didn't either.
Did you like Godzilla? The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll like this one.
I'm sure I will. Well, like, you know, Miguel...
Doesn't have Jack Black in it, so, you know.
You know, they're playing...
Hey, I actually like the Peter Jackson King
Kong. I did, too.
I like the middle hour of the Peter Jackson...
I didn't like anything about that movie.
The one with the part with the dinosaurs?
Basically.
Actually, I take that back. The part where he breaks the T-Rex's jaw is the only moment of
that's
the movie
the
I
best
liked.
Part of the movie.
I don't know. I enjoy it. What about it you don't like?
It's just boring.
That's the ride in Universal is based on that, which... I've been on the one in California, which is part of the tram ride.
That's the one that's in Universal Studios.
Yeah.
The one in Florida was like that. The one I went to back in the early, mid-90s.
No, that was totally different. That's been gone for a long time.
No, you're on a cable car. Well, I don't know if it's still there, but it used to be a cable car, and Kong comes, and he grabs
you. There's a completely different ride now, which is just opened like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Hmm.
It's called Kong Skull Island, I believe.
It sounds like we need to make a road trip. To theme parks.
We do. I am down for that.
If only if I had the time and money.
Yeah. Nah, fuck those two things.
Who needs those things?
We don't need that. Those trivial things to do it.
What are the trailers, big trailers? I can't really think of anything.
Fantastic Beasts.
I saw that trailer. That actually looks fun.
Was that a Comic-Con thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
And then if you're a Harry Potter fan, the play Cursed Child.
Is there a book coming out, too?
Well, it's the screenplay.
I just love that Colin Farrell is the villain in Fantastic Beasts.
Hopefully he doesn't, like, ham it up like he did in Daredevil.
I like Colin Farrell. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think he's a good actor. It's just he really hammed it up in Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, I told him to.
So have you guys been playing any video games?
I haven't been playing
besides Pokemon Go.
That doesn't count.
That does not count.
There is a game coming out that I'm super excited for.
Cuphead? Cuphead?
Well, is that finally coming out?
I have no idea yet.
Oh. No. It's No Man's Sky.
That is like the only thing I'm really looking forward to still.
I hope it's good.
Is No Man's
I
Sky.
Hope it's good.
I watched like an hour, someone playing for an hour on YouTube, and it looks amazing.
The
soundtrack's amazing,
good.
Too.
I picked up Uncharted 4 again. Now I'm going to try to beat that game.
You haven't finished it yet?
I haven't finished it yet.
Jesus.
I got busy with like other shit for a while.
Sure you did.
I did.
What are video games?
Right? You know Pokemon Go. Don't lie to us.
Yeah, if I can't play it on this in between like the not busy moments of my life, I have no chance.
So Pokemon Go made so much fucking money for Nintendo until they find out Nintendo didn't own all of it. Then their stocks is fucking plummeted.
Well, they still came out quite a bit ahead of where they
were.
Well,
I'm sure, yeah.
Well, and plus they're coming out with their mini version of the Nintendo with the preloaded games just in time for Christmas.
Well, they're also coming out with the Nintendo NX. They sort of announced exactly what it's sort of going to be. It's a portable cartridge-based console that can hook up your TV with controller that will actually pop off.
So, like a Game Boy that turns into Nintendo.
It's a Game Boy that plugs into your TV.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fancy, huh?
Super fancy.
Who's not getting one?
I don't buy any Nintendo products for the most part. I might buy that.
I'll probably buy the NES thing because there's the list of games on there is great.
Yeah.
My only complaint is that you can't update it. You can't, like, you know, like in the Wii U, you can go on there and buy games from the store. You can't do that on this thing.
But they're gonna release updates for it.
No, I don't think so. It's a preloaded. That's it.
If they're gonna, they'll do a sequel to it for more games or some shit.
Right.
Probably.
I read somewhere,
but there's good games on it, so you're good for a while.
And it's only $60.
Yeah, though it's 30 games.
And it comes with a controller that's super short.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like you have to like. I was looking in my living room. If I wanted to play it, I would have to sit on my coffee table to play it.
It's just like the old days where you're really close to the TV playing.
Well, they're a little bit longer back
that
in the day.
Authentic experience.
It's what I've been doing lately anyway. I've been pulling a camping chair right in front of my TV.
I need a fucking Retron.
Right in front of it and play it.
Fucking all this crappy Nintendo remake. I just need a Retron 5 because I got the collection.
Retron 5 is cool.
I need to get one.
Yeah, you have all the games.
I know, I do.
Why do you even need the mini one?
I don't. I don't plan to get one.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to get one.
No.
It's a cool idea. I like the fact that it works HDMIs. I don't have to, like, get a...
So does the Retron 5, doesn't it?
Yes.
So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Well, that thing's like 100-something bucks, isn't it?
It wasn't cheap, but it's... It's cool, though.
It's worth it.
I like it.
I want it, but I'll probably never even play
it. It plays, what, Sega, Nintendo,
NES.
It plays Game Boy, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Sega Master System?
And it doesn't, I don't think it plays Sega Master System, but it does play Famicom and Super Famicom if you have them. And there's a slot in the back for an SD card for your translation files for your Famicom games.
It's all. What's the word I'm looking for? You could save your game anytime. Whatever. I don't remember what it's called now.
Save states.
Yeah, save
states. It's just an emulator, right? It's not
the box itself is basically an emulator.
Yeah,
but you have to have the actual cartridge.
You do have to have the cartridges to play it.
So I can't just preload it on an SD card?
No.
I actually asked the guy at the store that before I bought it, because he's like, there's an SD slot in there for translation files for Famicom. I was like, why don't I just load ROMs onto the SD card and throw it in there? He goes, it doesn't work that way.
I have an Ouya that does that.
Ouya.
Ouya. You can actually load games onto an SD card.
Did you get it from Michigan?
Why? Did I get it from Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Never mind, Carrie. It was a bad joke. It was one of your kind of jokes. I figured you'd get it.
No. I only get my bad jokes, not yours. Were there any other last topics you want to talk about from Comic-Con?
That pretty much covers it. I always want to go to the San Diego Comic-Con, but I'm glad I don't have to deal with those long-ass lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can deal with it.
But always, the coolest shit always happens there.
We didn't talk about the Suicide Squad trailer.
I haven't watched it
yet.
I know
George hasn't watched it.
Oh, wait. Star Trek Beyond. We didn't talk about that. Yeah.
Do you want to wait? Do that now, or do you want to wait till Dave's seen it?
I really want to see it.
It was good,
so.
Yeah, just quick thoughts. What do you think, Carrie?
I'm not a Star Trek fan, but I like the movie a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is definitely...
It's action-packed.
I was a little scared because Justin Lin. I thought it was going to be Fast and Furious. But it's not. It's very...
there was not one car race in the game.
I've heard that...
There is a motorcycle thing.
Oh, yeah, there is a motorcycle thing. I forgot about that.
I've heard that he is... he himself is a fan, and so is respectful with the material.
Well, Simon Pegg wrote it, too.
Yes. I know. And so that's...
I really hope...
With somebody else, I can't remember.
With Star Trek 4, since they confirmed Chris Hemsworth reprising his role from J.J. Abrams.
So it's going to have some kind of time...
Weird time
aspect
travel.
To it. Yeah, time travel.
And I really hope they change out the directors, kind of like what they do with, like, James Bond movies. Like, usually, like, every other movie is a new director. I hope they do that with
I will say that it's the best use of Beastie Boys in any movie ever.
That was the one point where I was like, oh, God, really?
I think that was the best thing in the movie.
Well,
it was an homage to a different movie.
It was an homage to their first movie. But, however, it was like... I don't want to spoil it.
I was thinking it was more like an homage to a different movie.
What movie?
Also dealt with space.
Starship
Troopers? Star Wars?
I don't want to spoil it for
Dave. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, that was the one moment I was like, oh, really? But other than that, everything was pretty much fun. The lines between Bones and Spock is great. And a lot more funnier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I agree. Which one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Agreed. So, I think that wraps up our sort of coverage.
But yeah, Suicide Squad trailer looks amazing, too. I know you don't want to talk about it, but Jesus Christ,
it looks
so good.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that movie. I want that movie to be good.
I can't wait.
I just...
I was excited, but then I saw the new trailer, and I'm like, oh, shit, I really got to see this movie.
I want to see it. Kim does not want to see it, so I'm gonna have to go with you guys to go watch it.
Yes, let's make it. When does that come out? August,
like,
right?
Next
August
week. 5th.
Next week.
August 5th.
Yeah.
Are tickets
like next
on
weekend.
Sale?
Probably.
Why haven't we bought tickets?
I don't know.
I always buy my tickets like 2 days before.
Let's go to the fountain. We can
I have to go to the 8 p.m. show. You guys already go to the 7 p.m. show.
I'll go to the 8 p.m. show. I don't care.
Okay.
I got a free ticket, so.
You got that $10, huh?
I got that money sitting in my pocket. Let's go.
You got that $10 you've been having since Christmas.
Yes, exactly right. And every time it's weird. I have the AMC app on my phone. Every time I go anywhere near the theater, it says I have a $10 gift certificate waiting for me, and I don't. But if the show, hey, here's my phone. Hey, look, it says I do right here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gonna work, but
next time,
maybe. What were you gonna say, Dave? Anything else you want to talk about?
The only other thing from San Diego Comic-Con that I even saw was that Steven Universe had a panel where all the cast came on and sang songs from the show, and that would have been really fun to have been a part of.
Have you seen it?
I thought of something.
I've seen some of it.
I'm sure it's probably on YouTube. A lot of that stuff is on YouTube.
I've seen some of it. Oh, and the other thing was that the creator of the show, Rebecca Sugar,
she came out as bisexual
at San Diego Comic-Con, and if anybody has been watching the show, you went, uh-huh.
That was like, we already knew that.
Yeah, we get it.
It's like Rob Halford coming out. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. One last thing we forgot to do. George Hates Metal.
Jesus Christ. I have one more San Diego thing.
What?
Super 7. Master of the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah. That new episode of
The first new episode of He-Man in 30 years.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's called Curse of the Three Terrors.
You mentioned it last night or the other night. I need to watch it.
It's a story about Skeletor and Beastman and Merman. And they find this...
How perfect for you.
Yeah, they find this volcano where they're looking for a specific, you know, mystical herb or something Skeletor needs. And they find this door built into the volcano. So they go in there, and they're exploring, and they get separated. And they encounter this ancient evil that's, like, more older and more evil than Skeletor. And they end up defeating it with water, which is really, like, cheesy and stupid. But the dialogue's...
Like M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Well, the dialogue's really funny. And, you know, Skeletor being a jackass and, you know, talking shit to Merman and Beastman is always fun. And Alan Oppenheimer doing all the voices again was great.
He really did do the voices.
I wish we had known he was doing this before.
When he did the interview with
him. Yeah, it would have been such a cool thing to talk about.
The one thing I would do want to bitch about is the exclusives at Comic-Con. That is crazy.
Well, they're exclusives, Gary.
The Funko stuff. Well, I want the Indiana Jones badly.
Yeah, you can get it on eBay.
For like $200 or $300. No.
Well, you didn't spend the money to go to San Diego and wait in lines for it.
No, I did not.
So technically, those $200-$300 is convenience.
No, that's not convenient. That's charges.
I mean, it's market value. It is what it is. There's a limited number of them. Like, collecting the Deadpool stuff from San Diego for the last 5 years has been, like, crazy, trying to get that shit before it goes up. That's why I gave up. Like, I've given up my Deadpool collection because it's not feasible to keep up with it anymore. But yeah. So
and all the Haunted Mansion ones they did.
You know, get what you can. Sometimes there's sites that still will have product left over, and you can get stuff for a slight increase over what it was sold for there. But you got to really look and keep an eye out.
And I tried to get the Indiana Jones one through. Like, the next day, they had it released it through the Disney Parks one. There was a one that's exclusive only to the parks. I ordered it. About 95% of the people that ordered them all got canceled.
Why?
Because what I think that's happened is they released them all to the parks. People were buying 10 to 15 of them at a time. Mm. And then when they went to go fulfill the orders, they're like, oh, fuck, we don't have them.
Mm.
That's exactly what happened. So apparently they're going to re-release it in September or something. So
it's not such exclusive after all.
Well, it's exclusive, but it's just...
First printings.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, they don't really do it like that.
Yeah, Funkos don't work that way.
They could.
It's Disney.
I mean, it's all about that little sticker that's on it. They'll change the sticker
pretty much.
And then the first one will be the first printing, and the second one will be the second printing, and the first one will be more valuable. I mean,
just like comics.
It's just like comics. It's not that hard. Like, some of those Deadpool ones I got from San Diego, I remember I paid like $20 for the glow-in-the-dark black and white Deadpools.
Yeah.
Those things were like $300 when I ended up selling them off.
Really?
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
But, you know, we are fortunate to have a couple of shops that go and then bring a bunch of stuff back. So, you know, despite my other feelings about them, at least, you know, they do that kind of stuff.
We'll talk about that off the air because I don't want to talk about that right now.
I did see some cool stuff at Bedrock. They had some Ninja Turtle stuff that I wanted to go check out. I might have to go there.
I saw pictures of stuff that they had today. Yeah.
Of that stuff.
That stuff. So let's talk about the topic everybody's waiting for, George Hates Metal.
It was okay.
Okay, let's at least preface it and let people know what it is. So it's a brand new band coming out on Metal Blade Records called...
Oh, they're brand new.
Brand new, sort of, yeah. It's sort of a supergroup in a way.
Supergroup?
I guess, if you want to call it a supergroup.
I don't know who one of the people is in it. So.
I figured you would love this, but whatever.
Yeah, they're okay. The music...
Did you listen to just that one song?
Yeah, just that one song.
Okay.
The one song you sent me on YouTube. It was okay. Like, it's enjoyable. I wouldn't go be running out to listen to this band, but that one song was pretty good.
So the band we're talking about is called Necromancing the Stone.
Ba-dum boom.
Yes.
Like the movie?
Yeah. Like the movie, and the actual album title is called Jewel of the Vial.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's funny.
They love Michael Douglas and
apparently
what's her face?
Kathleen Turner.
Thank you. Voice in the other room.
Everybody loves Kathleen Turner from like 30 years ago.
Dude, I love her in that movie Serial Mom. Have you ever seen that? God, she's so good in that movie.
Serial Mom?
Yeah, it's a mom that kills the fuck out of people just for having bad manners.
I remember that.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
So, you didn't like this band?
No, it's not. I only listened to that one song. It's not that I don't like it. I think that one song I listened to, which I don't remember the name of the song, was just okay. Like, I don't think I'm a huge fan of the vocals yet.
See, so it's a traditional metal band. Let's just preface and say that. It's old school thrash metal, early.
When you sent this to me, you were like, it's... Because so the person that you mentioned was the guy from Brimstone Coven.
Yes, he's a singer for the band.
They're like Brimstone. I like Brimstone Coven a great deal. They're one of these retro throwback like 70s like stoner doom kind of band. And then you sent this to me. You said it's him, but they're doing thrash metal. And I listened to it and I'm like, it's this shy of being fast enough to be thrash metal.
Yes.
The riffs are written like thrash metal riffs.
Right. Exactly,
but it's
right.
Just not quite fast enough. Just barely. And so
it's more traditional.
It's more trad metal kind of, but there's other stuff in there too. You get the doom and it's interesting.
I think you would really dig this album a lot.
I haven't gotten a chance to listen to the stuff you sent me yet.
So basically the band, so James Malone, a guitar player from Arsis, the drummer from The Absence, Black Dahlia Murder. Oh. And
the mall metal band Black Dahlia Murder?
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, all right.
And then the singer bass player from Brimstone Coven.
My band played a show with The Absence
ages
ago. Yeah, they were really nice. I liked those guys. I bought their album that day because they were nice to me.
They weren't absent.
Well, if you met the drummer, he's in this band. Jeremy King is his name.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Kling, yeah. Jeremy spelled fucked up way, too. Jeremie.
Doing the phonetic spelling.
They were also really complimentary of my band set, and that went a long way too. It's like, I'm sure. Cool. I'm gonna buy your CD now. Thank you.
They say that to every opening band.
That's how they sell. Will get you far.
That's how they sell albums.
Flattery is everything.
So yeah, we need to get you to listen to the whole album because I mean it's something I think you would dig.
Okay, sure.
But
I'm not opposed to listening to more.
I want you to listen to the new Hammers of Misfortune.
The stuff you were playing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Didn't really sound like something I would like.
Do you like Ghost?
Yeah, I do. They sound nothing like Ghost.
I would disagree on that one.
I would disagree that you're disagreeing on my disagreement.
Well, we'll disagree to disagree again.
Yeah, I think...
A lot of that going on these days.
Ghostbusters?
No, it's an inside thing.
Well, no, I mean, it's kind of about Ghostbusters, too.
Oh, well, that too, yeah. Fuck Ghostbusters, yeah.
Did you like this band better than Ghostbusters?
It doesn't take much to me to like something more than the new Ghostbusters.
All right.
I like, piss on my face more than I would like Ghostbusters.
George likes golden showers.
Yeah, which.
George hates metal. George hates Ghostbusters. Exacto. George loves golden showers.
More than Ghostbusters.
Golden balls and golden showers. That's what I'd name
gold balls
if I was me.
Gold ball.
Golden
geekery.
Shit.
So, I finally got back around to reading it, and I'm almost done with Louder Than Hell.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm close enough to the end of it that I can have opinions about it at this point, if you want to talk about it, or we can save it for another time.
Let's save it, because I would like to know what you're...
I finally got through the two chapters that I was looking forward to the most.
Okay.
So, I feel
it's right above your head, too.
So,
We should make George read that book.
Further you get into that book, does it get louder?
Yes, actually.
Hell. Nobody? Oh, damn it.
He was so happy with that joke, too. He was like, hey, look at that joke.
Nobody. All right.
We got it. We just,
Whatever. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys, I'm going home. Shit, I am home.
They can't all be winners.
But they're all zingers.
Yeah.
Nobody? Come on!
All right, I think that's
going to... You already had your one with Chinese today. Don't push your luck. George Costanza
always
says...
It's not going to even make the episode, unfortunately.
George Costanza always says, knock him dead once, then walk out of the room.
He does say that, doesn't he? Give him one and go away.
Yeah.
All right. I think let's do that now. Let's go away.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 109 of the Metal Geeks Podcast.
Oh,
thank you.
How we should end this?
How?
What's the very, very good?
He did it that time, not me. Don't blame me that time.
You made me edit more than I've ever edited before in my life.
No, so I saw today, before I came over here, Metallica did a live show where they played the Pokemon
theme. No, that's not real. The song that was playing was not Metallica. That was Power Glove with the singer from Sonata Arctica.
Well, someone put it to a Metallica video, and I thought it was hilarious.
It's just not Metallica.
I thought it would be hilarious.
Did you ever once hear him go, yeah?
I didn't listen to it. I just saw the image.
All right, well.
Maybe he does go, yeah, Pokemon. I don't know.
Gotta catch them all, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make him do that, please.
They should if they want their next album to be
Pikachu,
a hit.
I got you, yeah. Get in my ball.
Get them one, get them all. Get all the Pokemon. All right, I
still want me to listen to Metallica.
Oh, come on.
What?
They're good.
They were good. Were past tense.
Biased. That's all it is.
Well, okay, which one do you think is good?
What?
Which album? Wrong.
All right.
Well, no, which one?
That was not the right album. That was a different album.
You didn't even say yet. Which one? Just because you're
Ride the Lightning and
okay, Ride the Lightning still good. Master Puppet still good.
I actually enjoyed the Death Magnetic album. I thought it was okay.
There were some good points.
You have made the voice from the other room be the voice in this room to tell you that you're wrong.
But I'm not wrong.
It's not a great album, but there's some good songs on it.
I'm not wrong. I'm always right, guys.
That the TikTok album?
That's Saint Anger.
Okay. Saint Anger was a piece of shit.
No, Saint Anger was awful.
Did y'all hear
Death
that?
Death Magnetic had a couple of good moments.
You should re-listen to it if you really just are outright dismissing it, because there's a couple of really good songs on there.
I like Death Magnetic. I think it's pretty good.
All right. What about Load and Reload? Hash and Rehashed?
There's a couple songs in there I like, but I don't think it's a great album.
Sean and I had a discussion about Load and Reload, actually, a few weeks ago.
Sean the Metal Pigeon?
Yeah. Because this was, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, but it was, it was the fucking 20th anniversary of Load.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I remember going to the store to buy that shit.
And he wrote about an entry about it on his blog, and so me and him kind of went back and forth, and we were like, you know, but between Load and Reload, there's a good album in there.
Yeah, basically it's...
Yeah, if you cherry-pick songs, you make, uh-huh, make one good album.
You could have had a good album, then you could have had the B-side album, which would you could have released separately later on.
Mm-hmm. Garage Days. That's exactly what that was.
No. Garage Days was an awesome album back in the day. Not the revisited one, but the original version.
Oh, the only one I know is the one where they do all the covers.
That's what Garage Days is
it's all covers, but they did that.
The 598 EP.
More than once.
Oh, I gotcha.
They basically took the first original EP and tacked on a bunch of other stuff to it. Like the songs that got...
I actually like a lot of that stuff. So,
well, I'm just talking about that. The one... I can't think of the name.
Whiskey in the jar.
Yeah.
Whiskey in the
jar. I like that.
Do you?
I really do.
It's fun. It's a great song.
I do love the Mirthful Fate medley on that album. It's awesome.
Gary's secretly a Metallica fan.
No.
You can't deny their old stuff's great.
No, I'm not denying that their old stuff is still great.
They only had like a span of like bad years when they were all just bitching at each other. Everybody has those years. When you spend that much time with one another...
Well, I mean, they made the Black Album, which was their quote-unquote sellout album, whatever. But
that was their most popular album.
But they cut their hair!
Well, I mean, all the songs on Black Album were pretty good. And then it was like, everything from there till Death Magnetic was kind of like, eh? Like, Load has a couple good songs. Reload has a couple good songs.
Yeah.
That's why I say, if you cherry-pick it between the two, you got an okay
but
stuff.
Death Magnetic... You know, now I'm thinking about it more. Like, I liked most of that album.
I don't think I gave
There's
that
like
album.
Only one
I didn't
song
like
on
most
that
of it, but I liked some of it.
I don't think I gave that album any kind of chance.
Nightmare Long is a good song.
I love that song.
All Nightmare Long is a good song. The only That song suffers, as Metallica does in general, because Lars is not a better drummer than he is.
He's never been a good drummer.
The drumming should be better on that song in particular. It gets a little bit monotonous. That song could be so much better if he was doing more interesting shit. But it's still
but
a good song. I like this. I know he can't.
He can't.
I know he can't.
Poor Lars.
But
well, there's nothing poor about him anymore.
Yeah, he's been
sold my painting for $1 million. Shut up. And that you seen the documentary?
Dude, you're gonna piss him off. He goes after fanboys.
I don't care. Refused to watch it up to this point. I don't want to see Metallica cry.
Some kind of monster.
Oh, I did see that. That was kind of sad.
I only sold my painting for $1 million. Dude, shut the fuck up.
Hey man, it's rich people problems.
I know exactly.
I'm just wondering how much of this is going to be on the actual episode.
All of it. Oh, making fun of Lars Ulrich? I don't give a shit.
Speaking of which, okay, so I'm wrong. It was not Metallica who did the Pokemon song. I'm sorry. I retract my idea for closing idea.
What was your closing idea?
That you should play the song for the closing. That would be funny because we talked about it earlier and bringing it back full circle, you know, like a joke.
Power Glove. Power Glove is awesome.
Sure, why not?
All right.
I just thought it was funny because
anything by Power Glove.
How about the X-Men theme song? I can do that. There you go. That's awesome.
I just thought it would be funny because you hate Metallica and they did the song. At least I thought they did. Carrie's very upset with me right now.
I'm not upset at all. We've said Metallica way too many times on this episode.
They're like the boogeyman. If you keep saying the name, they're going to pop out.
Fire bad!
Their SEO rankings are going to go up now just because we mentioned them so much.
We'll watch tomorrow. We're going to wake up. The new album drops or something like that. And Kara's like, no!
It's all Pokemon covers.
Fuck. It's actually called Gotta Catch 'Em All.
Yeah!
There's like a bloody Pokeball on the cover.
Cracked open and shit.
It's like the cover for Kill 'Em All.
Yeah, but Pokemon, right? That's what I'm saying.
Instead of the
Catch 'Em All
hammer.
Yeah.
And you still have the hand reaching for it.
It's not Kill 'Em All, it's Catch 'Em All.
Yeah, that's right. Catch 'Em All.
That's great.
Somebody needs to get on that poster artwork right now.
Master of Pokemon.
Master of Pokemon, there you go. Master of Pikachu is what it needs
Master
to be.
Master of Pikachu.
Yeah.
I don't know any other names. So
instead of saying
Squirtle, right? Ride a Squirtle.
I think one of them is like Mew or Mewtwo.
Well, yeah, those are like the legendary ones.
Yeah, so they can be like Mew instead of Yeah. Mew.
Let's do a closer, guys.
Come on to get you, Mew.
Let's get out of here to George and go play some more Pokemon Go.
I have not played the game, unfortunately. Now I kind of want to.
He's going to sing in James Hetfield voice the whole time he's playing.
Exactly.
Gotcha! Gotcha!
Yeah!
You're in my Pokeball!
Jesus.
Whew. That was good.
Are we done?
So done.
We're done. All right, so...
Fuck this. He doesn't even want to do the closer anymore.
He's the first episode where it just goes to the outro.
He deletes everything but the intro. He's like, sorry guys, technical difficulties, Justin was right.
All right, so thanks for tuning in to episode 109 of the show. I have been Carrie the Metal Geek along with our special guest,
Justin from Comical Podcast.
Oh, George motherfucking Tripsis.
Brutal Dave.
Where can they find more information about the Metal Geeks podcast?
Metalgeeks.net.
And?
iTunes.
And what should they do when they're at iTunes?
Subscribe.
And?
And write a good comment about us, because they love laughing with us so much about Pokeballs.
Make sure to include Metallica in your 5-star review.
We do.
Tell us your favorite Metallica song.
We want to hear your favorite Metallica Pokemon song. Where else can they find us on the interwebs?
I think Stitcher is one of them, isn't it? And some other stuff that I don't have the long list to tell.
How about Pod Bros?
Yeah.
Ear Peeler?
The Didn't
Houston,
know about that
the
one.
The Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
I knew that one.
Altness.com.
Yeah, I know them too.
Nerdbong. ESO Podcast.
Woo-hoo.
And MetalGeeks.net. Again.
Dave said that already.
I know. But it's an important place to go.
Okay, I'm just saying. All right.
You got to catch them all, right?
Catch them all.
Where else can they go?
To bed.
To bed. Besides going to bed, they can go to our social media.
All
links.
Our social media, yes. Metal Geeks, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is all Metal Geeks.
And where can they find out information about Grey Bear Comics?
Oh, for our first issue of comic, which is the digital copy is available now if you're still listening.
You can actually pre-order the physical copy now on our website, which is greybearcomics.com, G-R-A-Y.
That's right.
And you can also follow us on our social media. We're Grey Bear Comics everywhere.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about the comic if you read it. I would love to hear your thoughts in the comments.
They can also get like a PDF, like digital copy if they want to.
Yeah, that's what's only, for sale on the website.
Only $3 for the digital copy.
That's really cool. Support. It's good.
And
make issue 2 come out because I'm actually in issue 2. So,
and we're going to very close to a Texas tour coming up in August. Details will be coming soon.
Very cool. And Dave, where can they find information about all your endeavors?
You can follow my, see what I'm doing with my artwork and stuff like that, and see what I'm listening to, what beer I'm drinking at Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter. And my projects are Haxan, which is Haxan Arts on social media, and Geekazoid, which is I Love Geekazoid, and ilovegeekazoid.com, all your social media stuff. Geekazoid will be at Classic Game Fest in Austin this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by...
I would love to go to that.
Sponsored by Game Over Video Games. It's a really fun show, all retro video game stuff. It's a great time, so...
I will probably be going to make a trip to Hastings this weekend, because they're all closing down. Every single one in the country is closing down, and I'm going to try to find some...
Isn't there one near Austin?
There's one in Conroe.
Oh, never mind.
I was going to say, where is there even one around?
Conroe and like Lake Jackson is the only two near here.
Okay.
If you're in the Houston area, but yeah.
Sorry, I have spent many, many an hour in Hastings.
I think we all have. Day. Yeah, it's sad that it's closing.
I know. I've only been there twice.
And both times probably was me.
That's right.
Yeah.
That one time where we went to that Marvel experience.
Yeah. Yeah, on the way back.
And on the way back, yeah, that's right. On the way there and on the way back.
So the last, when we went to a wedding in Frankston, is that where we're at? Where were we at? So like 2 or 3 months ago in April, I think, when they were getting ready for all the wedding stuff, I spent like 4 or 5 hours just hanging out in Hastings. Either that or hanging out in the hotel, you know? So just read a bunch of stuff and looked at stuff. And it's a cool place because...
Did you buy anything?
I did
buy stuff.
God
damn it, Carrie.
I was the fucking problem. Actually, I have a friend who's a manager.
He bought a Metallica CD.
That I did
just
not.
So he can destroy it.
I did see Metallica vinyl the other day. I was like,
I'm a vinyl head all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. I have become a vinyl head.
Yeah.
So, on that note, I think that's it.
That puts a wrap on it.
That's it. No more. We're done.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a fork in me because I am fucking done.
Oh, yeah. Also, Grey Bear Comics.
We're up.
We're also going to be at Amazing Houston Con.
Oh, yeah.
In September.
In September.
I am looking forward to that
9th
show.
9th through 11th. So if you're in town, please come by and see us. We'll have the books and be signing them, selling posters.
Come and have a good time with us.
Yeah. We'll make you laugh.
All right. We'll
play some Metallica for you.
So you're going to have a little speaker playing Metallica the whole fucking time. I know you will now.
Only Pokemon Go Metallica.
Only when I walk up. Carrie's coming. Here, play it.
We're going to record our own versions with Pokemon-themed lyrics and play that the entire weekend.
It's going to be Enter the Squirtle.
That's Enter... Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Guess what?
What?
Chicken butt?
No, not chicken butt.
Just say the closer, man.
I have like an aneurysm.
I think you should just keep this totally
uncut.
This is
uncut. My favorite episode of Metal Geeks ever.
just leave it uncut.
That's the episode title, Uncut Geekery.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so guess what? Not chicken butt.
We were all thinking it.
I know, we were. That's KFC. That's what you get at KFC. That's what you're eating. Your fucking
it's
chicken
delicious
nugget. Chicken butt.
Delicious chicken butt.
All right. So thanks for tuning in, and as always,
keep it metal
and
keep it geeky.
Yeah.
Pokemon. Yeah.
Zoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.